Shall we make children sit in the front?
They can sit there if they like.
If you want the children to sit in the front.
Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Thank you. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna is very pleased when we call on him by his names which are associated with his devotees, qualities and pastimes. This song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is composed of the names of Krishna in different aspects. Number one, the son of Mother Yashoda. Two, the greatest of all inhabitants of Raja. Three, the attractor of the people of Gokula. Four, the heart of the gopis. Five, the one who can even attract the mind of Cupid. Six, the destroyer of the Kaliya serpent demon. Seven, chanting the Lord's Namam is my pastime. Eight, he who plays on the garden groves. Nine, the ever new beauty of Vrindavanam. Number 10, he who is always seen with his flute. And 11, he who lives in beautiful artistic craftsmanship. 12, the destroyer, the protector of the inhabitants of Raja. And 13, the destroyer of the descendants of the Asuras. 14, he who keeps and tends Maharaj Nanda's cows. 15, Govinda Madhava. 16, the butter thief. 17, the beautiful cowherd boy of Nanda Maharaj. 18, he who on the banks of the Yamuna. 19, stole the garments of the gopis. 20, he who relishes the loving exchange of mellows. 21, he who is full of mercy. And 22, the attractor of Radharani. And 23, the best dancer of Vrindavanam. And 24, the shelter of Srila Bhaktivinod.
Yashomati Nandana Prajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Yashomati Nandana Varu Nagara Gokula Kana Yashomati Nandana Prajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Yashomati Nandana Prajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Gopi Parana Dhana Madana Manohara Kaliya Gamana Vidhana Gopi Parana Dhana Madana Manohara Kaliya Gamana Vidhana Gopi Parana Dhana Madana Manohara Kaliya Gamana Vidhana Amala Harinam, Amiya Vilasam, Navina Purandara, Navina Nagarabara, Vamshivadana Suvasa. Vamshivadana Suvasa. Amala Harinam, Amiya Vilasam, Vipina Purandara, Navina Nagarabara, Vamshivadana Suvasa. Amala Harinam, Amiya Vilasam, Vipina Purandara, Navina Nagarabara, Vamshivadana Suvasa. Prajajana Palana, Asura Kula Nashana, Nanda Godhana Raghuyala.
ప్రజజన పాలన అసుర కుల నాశన నంద గోధన రఘుయాల గోవింద మాధవ నవనీతాస్కర 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 సుందర నంద గోపాల సుందర నంద గోపాల సుందర నంద గోపాల యమున పతచర గోపి వసన హర రాస రసిక కృప మోయ యమున పతచర గోపి వసన హర రాస రసిక కృప మోయ యమున తర గోపి వసన హర రాస రసిక కృప మోయ శ్రీ రాఘవల్లభ వృందావన నత భర శ్రీ రాఘవల్లభ వృందావన నత ధర శ్రీ రాఘవల్లభ వృందావన నత ధర శ్రీ రాఘవల్లభ వృందావన నత ధర గోవింద మాధవ నవనీత తస్కర గోవింద మాధవ నవనీత తస్కర శ్రీ రాఘవల్లభ వృందావన నత భర శ్రీ రాఘవల్లభ వృందావన నత భర గోపి గోపి పరన ధన మదన మనోహర యమున తత చర గోపి వసన హర యమున తత చర గోపి వసన హర శ్రీ రాఘవల్లభ వృందావన వకతి వినోదయ శాయ యశోమతి నందన ప్రజవర మాగర గోకుల రంజన తాన
Yashomati Nandana Prajabaru Nagara Gokula Ranjana Tana Yashomati Nandana Prajabaru Nagara Gokula Ranjana Tana Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Thank you.
ശ്രീമാൻ പരമഹംസ പരിവൃതാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണോ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവൃതകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗവൻ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസയതോന്മയാദിതരതാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദ യ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാഹ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവസം യുതം പിവദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസിക ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതം അപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കനികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണം పాదరేణుమ భీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంగం కౌమోదరీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయే శమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమాం మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంగయధే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద సో కంటిన్యూయింగ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ వి స్టార్టెడ్ లాస్ట్ సండే దట్ ఈస్ ది ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్ వేర్ సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి వాస్ డిస్కసింగ్ విత్ పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ అబౌట్ ది హిస్ డిజైర్ టు డిస్కస్ దిస్ 10th canto మచ్ మోర్ ఇన్ డీటెయిల్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది పరీక్షిత్ స్పెషల్ రిక్వెస్ట్ టు సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి. You will notice there so many, that first chapter itself is impregnated with so much understanding of the position of Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And therefore, Sridharacharya Swamiji, when he has commented on Srimad Bhagavatam, the most famous commentator on the Bhagavatam, is Sridharacharya Swamiji's commentary known as Bhavartha Deepika. So, Bhavartha Deepika, he has begun this commentary with on the 10th canto with certain special references in the Bhagavatam. Dashame dashamam lakshyam ashridashraya vigraham krira yadugulam bodho paranandam udiryadeem. Dashame dashamam lakshyam, that in the 10th canto what is discussed is ashridashraya vigraham, ashridan and ashrayam. One who is taking shelter is ashrida, and one who shelter is taken is ashrayam. So ashridas ashraya vigraham, that is Krishna, is that is what is discussed in the 10th canto. Kridati yadugulam bodho paranandam udiryadeem, that among the Yadava race, among the Yadava family, The jewel of the Yadava family, that is what is discussed, and that is the ultimate goal, Sridharacharya Swamiji says here. And that is what is discussed in the 10th canto. Dashame Krishna sal kirti vidanaya anuvarnyade dharma glani nimittastu nirodho dushta bhubujam. That what is discussed in the 10th canto is what is known as nirodham. Nirodham is that particular leela or pastimes of Krishna, which ultimately gets to help someone who wants to go back to the spiritual world to get his mind under control. When religious principles also, when people forget the religious principles, Krishna arrives and takes people away from this material world and kill the demons. That is also part of this 10th canto. Then, throughout 10th canto, Sridharacharya Swami has given loads of commentaries on that. And eventually we discussed about Gokule Madhurayam cha Dwaravatyam tada kramal Krishna Leela Tritha Proktam Tattal Bhedaisanegadam. Gokulam, Gokule Leela, Madhura Leela, Dwaraka Leela. Like this, there are three different leelas what is discussed in the 10th canto. స పంచత్రంశదాధ్యాయ బృహద్బృందావనాదిషు గోకులే వసదో లీలా వర్ణ్యదే సురదుష్కరాహం. అండ్ ఇన్ బృహద్వనం అండ్ బృందావనం, ద టూ ప్లేసెస్ వేర్ కృష్ణ స్పెండ్ హిస్ చైల్డ్హుడ్, దీస్ ఆర్ ద ప్లేసెస్ వేర్ దాట్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ విచ్ కుడ్ నాట్ బి ఈవెన్ పర్ఫార్మ్ బై ది డిఫరెంట్ డెమిగాడ్స్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ దాట్. అండ్ దెన్ వెన్ వీ స్టార్టెడ్ ద ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్, వీ వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ అబౌట్ ది పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్, asking different questions, and eventually Sudeva Goswami mentioned to Parikshit what has happened between Vasudeva and Kamsa. Vasudeva got married and he was taking the chariot back to his palace. It was then that the Ashaririva, or the voice from the sky, spoke about what was going to happen in the future with Kamsa, that the eighth pregnancy of Devaki Devi is going to kill Kamsa. So when Kamsa got the notice, he got very concerned about it and decided to kill Devaki Devi. And that is when Vasudeva Maharaj intervened and decided to correct the situation. So he told Kamsa that this morning I married your sister on the understanding that she held my hand and came with me, on the understanding that I will protect her from any difficulties in this world. That was on that basis that she has come with me. And today, unfortunately, this instructions from the sky has upset you so much. And there is so many verses Vasudeva has spoken to Kamsa. All those verses have a lot of philosophical meaning, as well as you can also, when you read those verses, you can see how Sukadeva Goswami, not only Sukadeva Goswami, even Vasudeva, Maharaj Vasudeva himself, was trying to enlighten Kamsa in spiritual life and understanding of spiritual life. So in the first two verses, he spoke about the science of the soul. What is in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find there also. It's not much different. He says here that Vasudeva says here, Vasudevacham Shlaghaniya Gunashurer Bhavan Bhojayashaskara Sakadam Bhaginim Haniyasriyam Udvahaparvani Mrityur Janma Vadam Vira Dehena Sahajayade Adivabdashadam Deva Mrityur Vai Praninam Dhruvam. One who has taken birth in this world, death is certain. Similarly, when one leaves the body, birth is also certain. He says, Vasudev says to Kamsa, and Dehe Panjatumabhani Dehi Karmani Go Vasha Dehandramanu Prapyam Pratanam Tejade Vabum, that this material body, we are thinking that we have a lot of control on this. Actually, Vasudeva was trying to tell Kamsa, body is controlled by karma. Karma is that actually controls this body, not us. That is why it says here, Dehi Karmani Go Vasham. Dehe panchatvama bhane dehi karmani go vasham dehandramanu prapyam praktadam praktanam tejadevabhum vrajam stishtan padayena yadai vegena gacchati yada tanajalugaivam dehi karmagadim gada. That this karmagadi, or the way karma drives us, it explains here. It is again in the Agadisha Skandam later. Also the same point is mentioned again and again, that when we walk, we put the first foot, and then when the first foot is properly established on the ground, then we take the second feet and put it in the front. That is how we walk in this world, isn't it? It's a simple thing, how we walk. Exactly like that, the soul moves from one body to another. There are two, three examples there Vasudeva has given. Just like there is this insect which moves from one leaf to another leaf. So the way it moves is, Tanajalugaivam Dehi Karmagadim Gada Tranajalugam. That is, how does it do? It moves half its body onto the next leaf. And when it feels it is stable on the next leaf, then he takes the second part of the body from the previous leaf and brings it over. So what has it got to do with the soul? The soul, while leaving the body, also does exactly the same way. When at the time of death, according to the activities at the time of death, one's mind starts developing the next body. And when the next body is developed, a stage will come at some point that the whole consciousness will be forgotten in identification with this body. Today, we have the understanding, I am this body, I am so and so, I live here, this is my wife, this is my family, this, that and the other. So many identities we have in relationship with this body. But exactly at the time of death, what normally happens is, inside, these thoughts are going on in the mind. The mind will already started functioning. So the first step that takes place at the time of death is the mind that starts into its activity. And whatever karma the mind is absorbed in at that time, accordingly the next body is created for us. And at the same time, when the next body is created, little by little, the soul makes its move from this body to the other body. So that is that process of death. Yatha trinajalu gaivam dehi karmagadim gada. So from there you can see how the loss of karma comes in. How karma affects us at the time of leaving this body. How it subtly influences everything. We have the false understanding that the death of this body is actually death. But in strictly speaking, the body has a very limited role at the time of death. Most of the activities are going on inside the body, within the body, where the subtle body is functioning, and the subtle body is capable of transferring us from this to the next body. In order to elaborate this, in the next few verses, he has given some excellent examples. Vasudeva decided to make Kamsa somehow or the other convinced. That was his goal. Somehow Kamsa should understand and start thinking about it. So Vasudev, Krishna has given this intelligence to Vasudev to think at that time and to get to make Kamsa understand. Kamsa is a demon, no doubt about it. But even though he is a demon, still he has intelligence to think in this way. And therefore, Vasudev started in the next few verses. You can read. Svapne yadha pashyati deham idrisham manoradhina abhinivishta chetana drishtashrudabhyam manasanu chindayan prabadhya deval kimabhi hyabasmradim. That you see how he has given it some svapne yadha pashyati deham idrisham. That in the vacant state, jagrata, as it is called in the jagrata state, all of you must have experienced this also. I have also experienced, all of you must have also experienced this. That in the vacant state, suppose your mind is absorbed in so many thoughts. In normal course, during the sleeping time, when you are dreaming, some of these thoughts is bound to come back there. Whatever activities you have strongly identified in your vacant state, that will naturally manifest in the dream state also. Why does this happen? This is a question. Now, the answer to that, here Vasudeva is saying to Kamsa, Svapne yatha pashyati deham idrisham, that in this deham, material body, how you have identified with this in your vacant state. This identification creates several thoughts in your mind, and mind takes that thoughts into the dream state also. But what is interesting is, in the dream state, when you have completely forgotten your this gross body, you slowly or strongly identify with your subtle body at that time. And in subtle body, whatever subtle form you have created in your dreams, you identify with that body at that particular time. What does that mean? It means that when you leave the gross body and when you go to the dream state and you are identifying with the dream body, whichever that is there, that is your body at that moment. Gross body has no relationship with you, although it is present here in this world. From this you can see, Vasudeva is saying to Kamsa, that as much as the activity is what you do in this body, it will influence your subtle body. And this subtle body, as it has taken you from the gross, from the vacant state to the dream state, and given you a different identification, similar to that, the subtle body can also take you from this gross body to another gross body and give you an identification there. This is what that verse means. Svapne yatha pashyati deham idrisham manorathe rathena abhinivishta chetana drishtashrudabhyam manasanu chindayan prabadhyadeval kimabhi hyavasmradim yato yato davadi daiva choditam mano vikaral agamava panjasu guneshu maya rajadeshu dehyasu prabadhyamana sahadena jayadem yato yato davadi daiva choditam. Daiva choditam means what is dictated by karma. This is the another interesting thing. Vasudeva wanted to stress this point to Kamsa and make him more conscious of it. What normally happens is, mano vikaral agamava panjasu. Our so-called subtle body and the mind has got one nature called vigaram. Vigaram means the whatever thoughts that is going through that mind, it has a tremendous influence on your future. And that you can only establish from examples what is given in the Bhagavatam. Mano vikaralpagam ava panjasum. That vikaralpagam, that means in other words, the emotional state of mind has certainly will influence at the time of death what is going to happen in your next body. So to illustrate that fact in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi has given so many examples. One of the most interesting examples is, if you go through in the fourth canto, the story of Jataparada. Jataparada, as you know, that in his previous life, he was Bharata Yogeshwar. He was a great king, and then he became a saintly king. He became Bharata. Bharata the king who became a Yogeshwara. So he was called as Bharata Yogeshwara. So this Bharata Yogeshwara, Yadha Yadha Karmadi Deva Chodidam, it says here, that Karmadi Deva Chodidam, Yadha Yadha Dhavadi Deva Chodidam, Deva Chodidam, it is karma which is already decided about the future. So that will determine the future life. So our Bharata Maharaj, what has happened to him, if you see that, if you read that illustration in the fourth canto, fifth canto, there you will notice that he performed wonderful spiritual activities in his life, gave up the kingdom, left everything, went to the forest, and executed spiritual life by meditation process and also engaged in samadhi. All the Ashtanga Yoga he was practicing. In other words, at that particular time in the history, that was the process of religious life which he was doing. So he did all that. But in spite of that, what has happened to him? At one point, he was absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in spite of that, at some point in time, he fell down from his samadhi, from the state of realization. What has actually happened was that from samadhi he woke up and he saw this deer which has delivered a baby and who has got frightened by a lion. And delivered the baby, and baby was coming through the river, and he was sitting next to the river and performing his meditation where he woke up and saw this baby deer coming through. He took the baby deer from the water, got attached to it, and he had to bring up that baby deer. He thought, is it not my karma that this has come in the water at this time? And realizing that, he picked up that baby deer from the water and started feeding milk and brought up the baby deer. What has happened then? Mano vikara alpagam. Vasudev says here, Mano vikara alpagam ava panjasum. Mind is vikara alpagam. In other words, that baby deer attachment got built up. In other words, at a particular time he had to give up his body. And at the time of giving up the body, the thoughts were centered around that deer. And because the mind was absorbed in the thoughts of the deer, not naturally, he could not accept, do anything else about it. All these penances, what he has performed before, has all been forgotten. The result was that, at the time of death, Manu vikaralpagam ava panjasum, that vikaralpagam, the mind started working. Why? The mind is full of thoughts about that deer. Naturally, the next thing the mind did was, it has set up the next body for Bharata Maharaj, a form of a deer, because the thoughts of the deer were stored inside. And as soon as the next body was ready, immediately the time has come for him to leave this body. According to Prarabdham, it is decided. It's not decided by anything else. Prarabdham decided how long he will stay in one body. And as soon as the body was finished, the time was over, the mind took him to the deer body next. So you can see how powerful the mind is. From this illustration, you can see the importance of mind, why mind is given so much importance in the Shrimad Bhagavatam. For this reason only, mind will decide what body you will have in the next life. And therefore, the 10th canto is referred to as Mano Nirodham, Nirodham of the mind, how to get this mind under control. If the mind is not under control, mind will take us at the time of death, whatever thoughts comes through the mind, accordingly the next body will be developed, and naturally, as in a normal process, the mind will move on to the next body. If it is a deer's body, it's a deer's body. If it's a dog's body, it's a dog's body. Along with, we have to move. We have no choice. This gross body is immediately forgotten. And the next gross body, we are able to identify with it. That is the beauty of that. See how forgetfulness helps sometimes. That you can forget this gross body straight away and start identifying with the next body. Why? The linking is done by the mind from this gross body to the next gross body. So who is the controller? Are we or the mind? We think that we are controlling everything. What do we control? The mind controls everything. So it is shows importance, that how important it is to get this mind under control. That is why Vasudeva was saying to Kamsa about him. Jyotirya devodaka parthiveshvada samira veganigatam vibhavyade evam samaya hridesha saupuman puneshu raganigato vimukhyade. So, jyotirya devodaka parthiveshvada. Sometimes the planets, sun planet and other planets, if it is reflecting in water, and if the water is moving, along with that, you will appear as though the planets are also moving. But the original thing there has no movement. It is staying as it is. It is the reflection of that that is actually moving inside the water. So similarly, Vasudeva is saying to Kamsa, Jodariya Devodaka Parthiveshvada Samira Vega Anugadam Vibhavyade Evam Sumaya Rajidesha Saupuman Puneshu Raga Anugado Vimukhyadim. If a, there are so few things mentioned there, that a king is enjoying with his wife in all kinds of relationships, even including the eating, sleeping, mating, everything is going on. Bhagavatam is saying that a similar thing is happening for a hog also, when a hog is enjoying its body, although in a very degraded way. For us it is a degraded way. But the happiness that is coming, the hog is receiving, and the happiness that the king is receiving is also the same. It is not different. Why? Because the anandam or happiness is a function of the soul, not a function of the body. It's not a function of the body. Whereas, what it says here, the beauty what the hog sees in its female and the king sees in his wife is a function of the senses. It's not a function of the soul. So some things are, this is known as adhyasam. In Shastram, this is referred to as adhyasam. Adhyasam means something the body is involved in and the same thing is reflecting in happiness of the soul. Anandam is a part of the soul. Anandamayo bhyasad, it says in the Shastram. Then anandamayam is a function of the soul. By nature, sachida ananda vigraha. That what is the nature of the soul? Eternity, blissful and knowledge. That blissful nature or happiness is a part of the soul. But due to adhyasam of the senses here, that and the sensual activities, the soul is experiencing some kind of happiness from these things. The living entity is experiencing some happiness, or called as anandam. So what it says here is that jyotirya devodaka parthiveshvada samira vega anugadam vibhavyade evam sumaya hridesha saupuman guneshu raga anugado vibhavyade. So, Vasudev tried to convince Kamsa all these different points about the function of the, in a very limited way. He tried to put it to Kamsa. Somehow the other Kamsa had the sense to understand and accept it. And the result was that later he agreed to let Vasudev go. And Vasudev drove the chariot to the palace and escaped from that temporarily this crisis from Kamsa. So that's what has happened. Later on we discussed about this, that also what happened was that Kamsa instructed Vasudev that he should bring every child and let him, first child he brought, and then Kamsa said to Vasudev that from now on, if you let me know when the child is born so that I can keep an account which one is which one, or what is the serial, but how it has happened. So his plan was, because it was spoken that only the eighth child is going to create problem for Kamsa, so Kamsa decided that up to that point he's going to wait. So he told Vasudev that he should report the birth every time, and Vasudev agreed, and this was done since then. So after that, the first chapter ends there, and then we move on to the second chapter. That in this in the second chapter, that the activities of Kamsa begins. Meanwhile, he has told Vasudev, Pradayadu Kumaroyam, you can take all the children, whomever you have, I don't have any worry about them. And he actually honored Vasudev's, respected Vasudev's honesty, because Vasudev was very prompt in bringing the first child, and seeing Vasudev's honesty, Kamsa did appreciate that, and he told Vasudev that in future he doesn't have to do that. Vasudev has he tried many different ways to please Kamsa, somehow or the other, to come out of the crisis. In Shastram, it is referred to as Samadana Beda Dandam, the four things what is normally used. Samam is used in some cases, explaining to Kamsa. All these philosophical explanation of the soul and transmigration is all Samam. that is necessary, because sometimes people out of ignorance do things, not thinking enough about their actions. So Vasudeva thought it may be appropriate to tell him about the trouble, what is going to come out of it. So he explained to him on a basis of Sama that different mistakes that is likely to happen by not following the Shastram. So that is Sama. And at one point he decided to offer all the children, that is the Dhanam or charity at that time. So Sama Dhanam Bhedam, everything Vasudeva has used to please Kamsa. Somehow the other temporarily he has got outside the problem. And then it was after that what Kamsa went back and to the palace. And Kamsa in the palace, Vasudeva in his palace with Devaki Devi, children were born. What happened then? And then it was then that Kamsa decided that he is going to give trouble to all the Yadavas. Because Narada Muni, as I mentioned last Sunday, Narada Muni came back and told Kamsa that be watchful about what's going to happen. The whole Yadava race is nothing but Vishnu's people. They have come here and the only intention is to somehow or the other kill you. And that's going to happen. And their friends and relations are all in this Yadava family. So he asked them to take note of that. Ever since he got this notice from Narada Muni, Kamsa decided to wage an all-out attack on all the Yadavas. Because he could not afford now to wait, because he has already got the message from Narada Muni that Krishna has decided to come. So since that message has arrived, Kamsa changed his approach. Kamsa decided that from now on, he is not going to let any Yadavas escape from here, and he wanted to kill as many of them as possible. It was in that process, it was a real hunt for the Yadavas at that time. They were having a very difficult time. And that difficult time is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when how they had to go through. Shri Shuka Uvacham Pralamba Bhagachanura Tranavarta Mahashani Mushtiga Arishta Divida Pudana Keshidhenugai Anni Shasira Bhubaler Bana Baumadi Bhiryuda Yadunam Kadanam Chakre Bali Magada Samshayaha Te Pidida Nivivishu Kuribanjara Kegayan Salvan Vitarbhan Nishadan Videhan Kosala Anabi. That all these demons, the associates of Kamsa, Pralamban, Chanuran, Trinavatan, and Mushtiga, Arishtan, Divida, Pudana, Keshi, all these big demons, they all decided to help Kamsa and they started wandering around looking for Yadavas and associates. And then the Yadavas realized that they knew that they are being chased by Kamsa's men, so they changed their dress and they started going to different kingdoms. And the different kingdoms they gone to, the nearby ones, Salvan, Vidarbhan, Nishadan, Videhan, Kosalanavi, all of the different adjacent kingdoms where they were living there, and they were always crying for Krishna to come and help. This is what was going on. They changed their dresses, they changed their names, everything. And and they were living in different kingdoms. They were traveling to escape from Kamsa's men and to save themselves from a disaster. So when these things started, Kamsa was getting heavier on them, and Kamsa wanted to kill any Yadava from whom he was expecting that Krishna is going to appear. So that was the next thing what happened. So in the next thing what has happened was that by now the six boys were born for Devaki Devi. When the six boys were born, and when Kamsa got this notice from Narada Muni, immediately he decided to react very strongly. He called, sent message for Vasudeva and Devaki to come with all the six children. And he told them to come, and when they came, he asked them to chain Devaki and Vasudeva and put them in the prison. And at the front of them, he held each one of those children upside down and took his sword and cut them into pieces and threw them away. That is how demoniac Kamsa was, out of his fear for survival. This is what he has decided to do. So that's why I say, Hadeshu Shatsu Baleshu Devakya Agrasenina. All the six children were Hadeshu, they were killed. And Devaki and Ugrasena, Devakya Agrasenina. Devaki was concerned about this, but what can she do? When you listen to all these things, naturally you will think about this, that Vasudeva and Devaki, had the great fortune of becoming Krishna's parents. But to become Krishna's parents, if this is what you have to go through, that six of your first children have to be slaughtered like the way Kamsa has done. Imagine what would have that distress that would have gone through Vasudeva and Devaki's mind. Anybody can imagine what a sort of situation that was for them. And when we think about all these things, that to become Krishna's father and mother is not a simple thing in this world. Only due to such great pious activities and penances that Vasudeva and Devaki had come to this position. But even after coming to this position, if they had to go through this sort of experiences in life, what is our position? Imagine what is our position in relationship with Krishna. If we had to go through this sort of relationship in this world before you could think about being Krishna's father or Krishna's mother. After all, every devotee has a relationship with Krishna. As we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are different relationships for the devotee and Krishna. And in these devotee relationship will depend on how Krishna has reciprocated that relationship. So, Valsalya Rasam or Valsalya form of relationship is a genuine one. But at the same time, if one has to go through these experiences like Vasudeva and Devaki had gone through, will we pass that test? Do we have that strength to go through these tests? After all, Vasudeva and Devaki had that good fortune that Krishna happened to be their son, and they had to go through so much distresses in their life before they could enjoy Krishna anymore after that. That is what it means. Hadeshu shatsu baleshu devakya agraseninam saptamo vaishnavam dhamam yamanandam prajakshare garbo babuva devakya harsha shoga vivardhana. That in the next thing, what happened in the palace was Vasudeva and Devaki were in total distress after this has happened. Again, the next time Devaki Devi became pregnant. Devaki Devi became pregnant. And who was it? Yamanandam Prajakshade. It was Ananda Deva. Adishesha Bhagavan has come this time. Or in other words, our Balaram has come. Balaram has come into the womb of Devaki Devi. So Balaram has come into the womb of Devaki Devi. And the pregnancy was progressing in Devaki Devi's womb. She has almost reached 4 months pregnancy. It was then that Kamsa started increasing his pressure on the Yadavas. And these Yadavas were crying so much for Krishna to help. And when a devotee is crying, Krishna cannot bear that. Because Krishna's nature, by nature, Krishna is such that as soon as a devotee feels the pain, Krishna feels the pain much more than the devotee. This relationship is a known thing. That everything else, a jnani or a yogi, that pain Krishna doesn't have. But when a devotee feels pain, Krishna feels the pain many, many times more. So this exactly what has happened here. That here, Yamanandam Prajakshade, Ananda Deva Adishesha has come and occupied the womb. 4 months have gone. It was on the fourth month when Kamsa became unbearable that Krishna decided to call Mahamaya, Sri Durga Devi, and told her, asked Durga to come. How do they call? Krishna didn't call Durga Devi. Krishna had to just remember, and Durga Devi appeared straight in front of her, front of Krishna. So when Durga Devi appeared, Krishna told Durga Devi a few things there. In the Bhagavadam, you can read and think about it. It's worthwhile because some of the things spoken in Bhagavadam in such a way, sometimes you won't grasp it straight away. But if you listen and think about it and then again read through it, you will find how everything was masterminded by Krishna so nicely. That Krishna said to Durga Devi, that do you know that Adishesha Ananta, Balaram has gone and occupied Devaki Devi? She said, yes, I know about it. After all, nothing can go on in this world without she being told about it. So she knew that Balaram has already occupied Devaki Devi's womb. Devaki Devi's womb. And then what happened? After this incident, Krishna said to Durga Devi that now I can't wait anymore. I was thinking first that let Balaram appear first and then I will appear afterwards. This was my plan. But it looks to me that after Balaram's appearance, if I want to go into Devi Devi's womb, it's going to take some more time. By now, the devotees were feeling terrible distress because of Kamsa. And this distress I can't bear. So I have to ask you, Krishna said to Durga Devi, that you should take Balaram from there, from Devaki Devi's womb, transfer that to Rohini, the other wife of Vasudev, who is living with Nanda Maharaj in Gokul, where Nanda Maharaj is living. Transfer him from here to the womb of Devaki, to the womb of Rohini Devi. So there, Krishna said one or two things to Durga Devi. Few conditions, he said. First thing, Devaki Devi should not know about it. Secondly, Balaram himself should not know about it. These are the conditions Krishna says to Durga Devi. That Devaki Devi should not know that you are transferring Balaram from Devaki Devi's womb to Rohini Devi's womb. Neither of them should know that, he says. In other words, Devaki Devi will get pregnant and Rohini Devi will deliver the baby. How do you think about that? Is there any technology in the modern world where, with all their so-called advancement, they could do this? I don't think they've got that far yet. They're trying hard, but they won't make it. Because Krishna has said that this is how I want that to happen. So, also, interesting thing is, Krishna also said to Durga Devi, one more thing, Balaram should also not know about it. Why this condition? Balaram should not know about it. That is important because Krishna knew Balaram's nature. Balaram's nature is, he's a straightforward person. No messing around. If somebody messes around with him, kills him straight away. Doesn't want to know, no discussion or anything. So knowing this nature of Balaram, Krishna told Durga Devi, if Balaram comes to know about it, you go and tell Balaram, Balaram, can you move on to the other womb? Balaram will get angry with you. And he will straight away tell you, why did you ask me to come and lie down here then first? So in order to avoid that, Krishna said to Durga Devi, that the birth has to be like this. Balaram will go in first. From there, you have to transfer him from there to Rohini's womb. This decision was taken 4 months after the pregnancy, not before than that. Only when things got very worse. Otherwise, Krishna's plan was to wait till Balaram appears and then move into Devaki's womb. But the plan got changed in the middle. And the fourth month, Balaram was shifted to Rohini Devi's womb. Balaram didn't know about it. Devaki Devi didn't know about it. Rohini Devi came to know that she's pregnant later. But this is how these things are done. Just to see how the subtle nature of the material body is controlled by the Supreme Personality, Krishna, through his agent, Durga Devi. Durga Devi's answer, you should read them. It says them. Gacha Devi Vrajam Badre Goba Gobiralangradam Rohini Vasudevasya Bharyaste Nanda Gogule Anyam Shakamsa Samvigna Vivareshu Vasandihi Devakhya Jadare Garbham Sheshakhyam Dhamam Amagam Tal Sannikrishya Rohinya Udare Sanniveshayam. The words used is Sannikrishya, Sanniveshaya. All these words are very, very, very special because Sudeva Goswami knew that this was not an ordinary plan. What Krishna does in association with Maya is always kept in extreme confidence. It is never revealed. Even Lord Balaram didn't know what was being done to him at that time. That is why that words are used. Sannikrishya, Sanniveshaya. All these words are because of that. And Adahamam Shabhagena Devakyam Putradam Shubhe Prapsyami Tvam Yashodayam Nandavatyam Bhavishyasim. When you go to Gokulam, and then you will see, when you see that nice devotees there, who are these? The cowherd men, the Gobas, Nandamayad's people. When you see them, you will automatically feel a desire to take birth from there. And that is how she was told about this. You will get a desire to take birth from that family. And so you should take birth from there, from Mother Yashoda's womb, and you should also appear from there. And rest of the things, we will plan after that. That is how it says, that Archeshyandi Manishyaswam Sarvakama Vareshwarim Dubobahara Velibi Sarvakama Vare Pradam. that when you appear from Rohini Yashodama's womb, that Archi Shandimani Shastam Sarvagama Vareshwarim, people will worship you in this world to fulfill all their material desires. That is what purpose they will worship you. And you don't have to have any worry about it. They are going to glorify you in this world. Dubabahara Belibi Sarvagama Varapradam. And you will get various names. You will be worshipped all over. Namadheyani Kurvandi, Sanani Janarabhuvi, Durgedi, Badragali, Iti, Vijaya, Vaishnavi Dijam, Kumuda, Chandiga, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyage Dija, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, Ambige Dijam. So all these different names, you will be worshipped from all over by the devotees to fulfill their material desires. Please give them, fulfill all their desires. The interesting thing here is that when Krishna said this to Durga Devi, Krishna already had in mind that later on the gopis in Vrindavanam will also come to you asking you to make me as their husband. And we will talk about it at that time. This was in Krishna's mind, and which he did later when Durga Devi comes back and asks Krishna that there is a young girl, group of young girls coming and worshipping me. And now I can't do anything about it. You have to help. She said to Krishna. Krishna said, now leave that everything to me, because I know it is my duty now to do the rest. So Krishna has spoken like this. So all these different names Durga Devi has accepted in this planet, and she is being worshipped there. Garbha sangarshanam vai prahu sangarshanam bhuvi ramedi logaramanal balam balavachayal sandishtayo bhagavadat adedi omidi tadvaja pradegrahya parikramam kam gadatal tadhakarol. So when Krishna has spoken everything, Durga Devi accepted tadedi omidi accordingly as per your instructions, and Krishna said to her that you are capable of doing all these things, aren't you? He said to her. And there was no question. Her capacity as a material energy personified, she is capable of doing anything what we cannot even imagine in our mind. We think that everything in this world is working wonderfully. But behind all these laws, material energy, material nature, she is controlling them under the guidance from Krishna's energy. She is Krishna's energy personified. Therefore she said, Tathedi, O Omidi, I'll do according to your instructions, which she did later on. Now this is where that scene ends there. And now what else has he done? Now this has caused more problems. As much as when Balaram moved on to Rohini's womb, that evening Devaki Devi had this miscarriage. So when she had the miscarriage, she felt terribly depressed about it. Already six children have been killed by Kamsa. Now the seventh one had a miscarriage. So the seventh pregnancy, sixth pregnancy and the birth was informed to Kamsa. From then on, Kamsa was monitoring very strongly everything. He had put so many soldiers outside to keep an eye on what is going on with Devaki and Vasudev. So when the seventh pregnancy, when the miscarriage happened, as soon as it happened, the jailers or whoever was guarding the jail, they immediately reported, because that was the instruction from Kamsa to report the matter to Kamsa. So they went and reported to Kamsa that Devaki Devi's seventh pregnancy seems to have happened. And Kamsa, as soon as he heard, he came running over to the prison. He came running over to the prison and he wanted to know what has happened. So they announced about the miscarriage and Kamsa went back. By now, Kamsa's mind is in real fear of Krishna, Krishna's arrival. He was getting closer to the eighth. So he made this guards, many more were put on duty and kept a close watch on the situation. Sabibral Paurusham Dhamma Brajamano Yatharavi Durasado Didurdarsho Bhutanam Sambhavuvaham Tato Jagan Mangalam Achyutamsham Samahidam Shurasudena Devi Dathara Sarvalpanam Alpabhudam Kashtayadhanandagaram Manastaha Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuda Nidaram Mareje Bojendragih Agnishike Varudha Saraswati Yanagale Yatasadim. That Tato Jagan Mangalam Achyutamsham Samasadam Shura Sudena Devim that what you can see there, that what was happening in the jail. Now Sudeva Goswami is leaving that scene there with Kamsa and taking us all to the jail. What is going on in the jail? Because the jail the jail is now protected very heavily by the guards, and Kamsa is becoming very conscious of about the next appearance of the next child. So deliberately some of the Bhagavadam commentators have mentioned that this was done deliberately by Krishna to confuse Kamsa. What did he do? By the next appearance was Krishna's appearance, isn't it? Eighth appearance is Krishna. So what was happening was that while in the prison, Vasudeva was chanting the holy names and was in terrible distress with all what he has experienced so far. Six children being killed, and the seventh one was a miscarriage for Devaki. Devaki was feeling that terrible depression in her mind, and she was in that unfortunate condition sitting there in the prison, chained by Kamsa, both Vasudeva and Devaki, and they were experiencing, going through a very, very hard time in the prison. It was then that suddenly, while chanting the holy names, and Vasudeva was experiencing some kind of happiness in his mind, he started feeling tremendous blissful experience inside. And Devaki was watching Vasudeva because they had nothing else to do. In one instant, what else can you do in the prison if both of you are chained and put in there? Later on you will see Nanda Maharaj asked Vasudeva what he did in the jail. Vasudeva said, I was learning astrology in the jail, because it is normal that when big people, great personalities, here also even today it is like that. If you are a first class prisoner and if you are sent to the jail, government will give you some facilities. They won't make you to do hard labor. If you are a third class prisoner, if you have done some serious crime, murdering someone or things like that, and you go into the prison, they'll make you work whole day, either growing vegetables or plowing the land or something like that, some hard job or some building work, something like that. They'll give it to you, even if you don't ask for it. But when first-class prisoners, like Vasudeva was a first-class prisoner as far as Kamsa is concerned. So when Vasudeva was sent to the prison, naturally there was some consideration, although Kamsa was getting very mad about Vasudeva and Devaki. There were some concessions were given. Nanda Baba, when he came to see Vasudeva, asked this question, how did you get to know about astrology so much? So Vasudeva said to Nanda Baba, that what can I do? I was sitting in the prison, nothing else I could do. So rather I thought I'll use my time to learn some astrology. So looks that Vasudeva had some time to learn astrology. But here we see what we find now is that Vasudeva and Devaki, they were looking at each other. And Devaki saw a big change happening in Vasudeva. Vasudeva, who was totally in distress, suddenly started smiling. Not only he was smiling, that he could, there was a kind of a feeling for Devaki that Vasudeva was completely forgotten that he was in the jail. In other words, he was experiencing the transcendental happiness by now Krishna has entered into the womb of Vasudeva. Krishna has entered into the mind of Vasudeva. So that entrance of Krishna into the mind is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that tado jagan mangalam achyudamsham samasedam shurasudena devi dadhara. That Devaki Devi is looking at Vasudeva and seeing these changes, what is happening in Vasudeva. And she started asking Vasudeva, what has happened to you? Why are you feeling so happy now at this point? Whereas me, I am so distressed with everything what has happened. She said to him, I am not at all surprised. A devotee like you, who is always chanting Krishna's holy names and always surrendering to the Supreme Lord, there is no question that the Supreme Lord is going to protect you. But look at my condition. This is how Devaki Devi was lamenting at that time. At that point, that is then that Vasudeva said to Devaki that I am feeling something which I have never experienced before in my life. So in other words, this is what will happen when Krishna comes into one's heart and started showing that potential to the Supreme Lord. Immediately it is going to affect that person's life to such an extent. Then there is no more distress after that. This distress is going on with us. Why? Because there is no symptom of sign of Krishna anywhere in the heart. This is why for us it is always the story of distress from beginning to end. But from this Vasudeva's experience, that when Krishna entered into Vasudeva's heart, decided to appear from Vasudeva to Devaki, move from Vasudeva to Devaki, Vasudeva's experience is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is something like a samadhi state, full of blissful and knowledge and eternity. That realized state of consciousness, that is what Vasudeva was experiencing at that moment. And when he was experiencing at that moment, Devaki Devi is saying to Vasudeva, please tell me what exactly you are experiencing there in your heart, because I do not know, I cannot understand, I am feeling very distressed. And on the other hand, when you are experiencing all this happiness, what am I experiencing? I am just seeing Kamsa holding each one of my children upside down and cutting their throat with the sword. This is, and as soon as I remember that, I get frightened about the whole thing. Imagine two different consciousness. Devaki Devi is one state, Vasudeva is in another state. Vasudeva, it is at that point, decided to tell Devaki Devi what he was seeing in his mind. And that is how Vasudeva's explanation of Krishna in the four-handed form, how Krishna has appeared in Vasudeva's heart. Suryaspardhikiridam urdhvadilagam prolbhasi bhalandaram karunyakulanetram ardrahasitolasam sunasapunam gandodhyanmagarabakundalayugam kandojjwalal kaustubam tudrubam vanamalyaharapadalam shrivalsadiprambhajim. Suryaspardhikiridam, the four-handed form of Krishna inside the heart, where he was standing there. Suryaspardhikiridam, the kiridam or the crown was millions of sun planets effulgence. That is how glittering it was. Suryaspardhikiridam urdhvadilagam. Urdhvadilagam means the gobi, what we put on. Same, Krishna was also had the same thing. Karunya urdhvadilagam prolbhasi bhalandaram, that long forehead of Krishna. Karunya gulanetram, Krishna's eyes are always showing mercy to the devotees. Always that merciful eyes, what Krishna has exhibited. Karunyagula netram ardrahasidolasam, that Krishna's smile is ardrahasidolasam sunasapudam, that his way of smile, Krishna smiles all the time in such a way, a slight smile on the face to give a relief to the devotee's distress. Ardrahasidolasam sunasapudam, and the beautiful nose. Gandodhyan magarava kundala yugam kandojjwalal kaustubham, the kaustubha jewel on his neck, and also the magara kundalam, which is reflecting, the kundalam means the eardrops, which was reflecting on Krishna's cheeks, because of its beautiful cheeks, it was reflecting on the cheeks. Kandojjwalal kaustubham todruvam, Krishna's form, along with the vanamala, the big garland made of forest flowers, which he was wearing. That is how Krishna was seen by Vasudeva in his heart. When Vasudeva saw that form, he started explaining everything to Devaki Devi, what he was seeing and Krishna inside, in what form he was seen inside. Vasudeva started explaining everything to Devaki Devi. When he explained everything to Devaki Devi, Devaki Devi started little by little understanding what was going on. And Devaki Devi's mood started changing, and she started becoming like Vasudeva, becoming more and more happy about the whole thing. That happiness, what she started experiencing, the same samadhi state, or in other words, the blissful state, what Vasudeva was having, now started moving on to Devaki Devi. When this was moving on to Devaki Devi, little by little, Vasudeva started losing it. So this is how it is. How did this transformation take place? That's also important. The transformation happened in this way. It went through the words. That is how the great gurus or spiritual masters, when they want to transfer Krishna consciousness to another devotee, they do it through the words. It is a kind of transformation of the Supreme Lord from one's own heart to the another person's heart. It is mentioned in the Upanishads. All this is explained, how this happens, this process of transferring the Supreme Lord from oneself to another person through words. So that was done by Vasudeva now. So Vasudeva became very morose, and Devaki Devi became extremely happy now. Why? Krishna has moved in. This is how that movement has happened from Vasudeva to Devaki. All these things looks for us somewhat unbelievable. How these things can happen? Srishuban says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't have to have any worry about it. When Krishna does things, always things happen in such a way which we may not probably understand, beyond our understanding. That is why tado jagan mangalam achyudamsham samasadam surya sudena devim dadhara sarvaatmagamatmabhudam kashtaya dhanandagaram manastaham sadevagi sarva jagan nivasa nivasa brudanandaram mareje bhojendragehe agnishikhe varuddha saraswati jnanaghale yatha sadim. How she looked at that time when knowledge is covered with by when the knowledge is covered, Saraswati Devi, how she will look exactly like that. Tam vikshakam saprayojidandaram virojayandim bhavanam shujismidam aheshame pranaharo harir guham duvam shido yanna pureyam idrishim kimadyadasmin karaniyam ashumi yadarthatandrona vihandi vikramam striya sasurguri matyavadhoyam yashashriyam handinu kalamayum sa esha jivan khali sambareda varteda yotyanno shamsidena dehe dehme Then the changes that was happening there, the Vidhi Devi has developed this blissful consciousness, and then immediately this situation was sensed by the guards who were guarding the prison. So they went and reported the matter to Kamsa. They didn't want to wait anymore. So they went, because they were strictly instructed by Kamsa that when this next appearance happens, immediately it should be reported to me. That was clear and firm instruction from Kamsa to the guards. So the guards went and reported to Kamsa. As soon as Kamsa got to know about it, he came there and he came running. And in another place it mentions there that that while running to the prison, Kamsa hit his feet somewhere and fell down, and the crown was thrown away from his head. To such an extent, he was in a nervous state of mind. But when he came to the prison, what has happened was that he told the guards to open the door, and they opened it, and he went inside. And he saw Devaki Devi looking extremely good in her mind and consciousness, and Vasudeva looking a little bit depressed also. So he thought for a moment, it's not better that before this Vishnu comes out, I rather finish her now, so that before he gets a chance. He thought for a moment like this. And after thinking that, he decided to get hold of Devaki and kill her. But then some thoughts came to his mind, that if I kill a woman, first of all, Devaki Devi, woman. Secondly, she is pregnant. Two things. And if I kill her now, what will the people talk about me? This is what was going through Kamsa's mind. But more than that, Krishna confused Kamsa to such an extent, because Kamsa now started thinking, is this the seventh or is it the eighth? You can see the problem, because the voice from the sky said, the eighth one will kill you. Now the seventh one, there was no sign of the seventh one. Now, should I take this as the seventh or the eighth? So Kamsa started counting back and forth, which one to take it as seventh or the eighth. So after a long thought process, Kamsa said that let him come out and I'll decide after that what to do with him. So this was the next decision Kamsa has taken. What control has he got on his own mind? Somebody else is controlling from inside. But poor Kamsa, what does he know what is going on from inside? The remote control from material energy and Krishna is so powerful that Kamsa was feeling this, that I have to take the decision. So he decided to come out. But when he came out of the prison house and the guards locked the door, Kamsa thought the whole room looked very effulgent, a bluish light everywhere. And he also thought, that bluish light is following him. He started thinking like this. Is he following me? He started even look back. Every time he looked back, he couldn't see anything. But as soon as he turns his head to the friend, he thought the blue light is following me behind. So he started looking back again. So eventually, Kamsa got so frightened that somebody is following me. This thought was building up inside. So all the way from the prison to the palace, Kamsa was getting very worried. So what did he do? Kamsa employed more people, more military in operation. Two more in the front, two more in the back, two on each side, so that, and he told every one of them that keep an eye on Vishnu, because Vishnu, you can never say what he will do. He can do so many strange things, you know. He can do play with Maya, and he does all sorts of things. And Kamsa also knew from the past what Vishnu has done in 3-4 different instances. So Kamsa was very fearful of the Maya, what Vishnu may use against him. So because of that, Kamsa has warned all the gods to keep a close watch all around him, so that before Vishnu attacks, he can pull the sword and get ready to fight. So prepared he was in all these things. So what did he do? He was thinking in his mind. He said to the gods, you know what Vishnu has done before? In few different occasions, he said, I'll tell you. In one instance, what he did was, he said he had a devotee by name Prahlada. And this Prahlada and his father Hiranyakashipu, they had an argument, and Prahlada was saying to Hiranyakashipu that you can see my Vishnu here, and he came out from the pillar. So what am I supposed to do? So where is the guarantee that he will not appear from anywhere? Unless you keep a very close watch on the situation, it's going to be a problem, he said. That's one. Secondly, he told them that there was a king by name Satyavrata. This Satyavrata was once performing his Sandhyavandanam in the river in Kridamala. When he was performing, he took some water, and in the water he noticed there was a small living entity. And he noticed that he threw it away, and he took another water again in the hand. When they perform Sandhyavanam, they stand in the river, and with both the hands they take water like this and offer it to the Supreme Lord who is present in the sun planet. That is Sandhyavanam ceremony for them. So when he was doing it, he took the water in the hand and he saw a small living entity in the water. So first he thought that I should not take water with some living entity. So he dropped it and he took another drop of water, another handful of water. Again the same living entity came in there, a small living entity. So he was performing the tarpanam to the Lord, and suddenly he turns out into a small fish, and then he puts him in his lota, and then he starts growing from there, and that has become a big problem if you remember that incarnation of the fish incarnation of Krishna. So like this, Vishnu can appear in different forms from anywhere, he told the gods. So I don't want to give this opportunity for him to cheat me in this way. I'm not going to take it. Not only that, my servant Brahma one day told me, Brahma has noticed, Kamsa was saying that Brahma has noticed suddenly one day Vishnu has come from his nose out. Varaha appearance, Varaha incarnation started like this. A small baby Varaham came out from the nose of Lord Brahma, and he started growing so big it became the size of the universe. So all these things Kamsa knew very well. So Kamsa wanted to be prepared for this before that happens. So he decided and told the guards to take note of it. So he walked back into the palace. When he got into the palace, he checked his seat. And when he checked his seat, the very thick cushion he had put in, he thought maybe Vishnu is inside there. He started hitting the cushion to check if Vishnu was there inside. Because if he sits there inside, suppose he gets into my body somehow, like he did with Brahma or somebody. All these kind of techniques Vishnu has. So he decided to pull the cushion out and throw it away. Like the fear inside, 24 hours meditating on Krishna. This was his good fortune. That this poor Kamsa, who had been all along thinking about Krishna, that every second he was thinking, is Krishna there? Is Krishna here? That there is one, Sri Rajari Swamiji has made a funny joke about this Kamsa state of mind at that time. If you want to hear, it's a very funny thing. What he said about Kamsa was like a sannyasi, he says. Why sannyasi? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Why Kamsa was like a sannyasi? In the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says what a sannyasi, how a sannyasi should live in this world. There's a lot of instructions there. And the instruction is that a sannyasi is supposed to not to give pain to any other living entity. Therefore, what normally they do, before they put their step further, they will always look on the ground if there is any living being on the ground. And then, when they drink water, they will normally filter the water with a cloth or something so that no living being gets into the water when they drink. Because for a sannyasi, it is strongly forbidden to give pain to another living entity. Because of the state of consciousness, they are supposed to maintain these things. So, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava that Drishti Bodham Nyasel Padam Vastra Bodham Pibe Jalam. Sannyasi's qualities are mentioned like this. That without seeing further, he will not put his next feet. And similarly, without filtering the water, he will not drink the water. These are supposed to, sannyasi is supposed to do. So here, Sri Rajari Swamiji says about Kamsa, that he was like a sannyasi. Everywhere checking if Vishnu was there, instead of anything else. So before he drank water, he will filter the water, so that Krishna doesn't get in the water like a living being. Similarly, every step, when he was putting forward, he will check if Vishnu is there on the ground, before he can put. So exactly, Kamsa's life was a sannyasi, Sri Rajari Swamiji says there. Drishtibodham nyasel padam vastrabodham pibet jalam. That is how Kamsa has lived his life at that time. One day it so happened, he had two wives, Asti and Prapti. They didn't have the modern names like today. They had some old names, Asti and Prapti. That was Kamsa's wives, Jarasandha's daughters. So one day they came to see Kamsa. They were all frightened of Kamsa all the time. He was such a terror. So when they were coming, Kamsa looked from the palace and thought, Vishnu is coming. Pulled his sword out and wanted to kill them straight away. They ran away immediately as soon as saw Kamsa coming from there. And then all the gatekeepers came and told Kamsa, they are only the queens, Maharanis have come. They are not Vishnu. Oh, then it's okay, they can come, call them back, he said. So they were called back. Like this, every single step, thinking about Krishna. What a good fortune of Kamsa, imagine. That everything throughout the day and night, the only thought that was going through Kamsa's mind was Krishna. Nothing else. So Krishna conscious Kamsa was, that you can imagine that any relationship with Krishna, if it comes to that intensity at some point in time, then you are ready for liberation. This is what it is. This is the beauty of Krishna's appearance. In no other incarnations, Krishna has shown this magnanimity, what he has shown in Krishna's appearance. Putana came to offer poisoned breast to Krishna. Krishna sends her back to Vaikuntha. Here it is Kamsa who wanted to kill Krishna. Krishna eventually sends him back to Vaikuntha. Same thing with Gopyagamal Bhayal Kamsa Deshya Chaityadayo Nrupa Sambandho Vishnayo Yuyal Sneham Bhaktya Vayam Vibhom. So this is how Krishna is. Krishna has no enmity, no friends to anybody. When a living being, when one of his emotions, any of this, one of these, any Sneham Dvesham Ragam Snehadveshanuragai Prabhupada Radulai Ashramai Ryoga Bedaihi. So Swayam Martyavadaro Jaidida Vibho Yatra Sangirtana De Snehadveshanuragai Prabhupada Radulai Ashramai Yoga Bedaihi. That why Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance is so important compared. We may say that Krishna has appeared to kill Kamsa. Krishna has appeared to kill, to fulfill the desire of Bhumi Devi. No, none of these are not as valid as what Krishna has done in that particular appearance, because it is only in that appearance that Krishna has shown this magnanimity to everybody. Without looking at anyone's face, he handed over liberation to them and sent them back to the spiritual world. Whether it's Kamsa, whether it's Shishuvala, whether it's Pudana, whether it's Yashoda, whether it's Nanda Maharaj, no matter who it is, you want to go back now. That was Krishna's attitude. Never had any difficulty, oh, you are a demon, you are a... There's nothing like that. To every single personality who came to Krishna, that is why Krishna is known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody else had this magnanimity and mercy has shown throughout the history what Krishna has shown. That is why Soyam Krishna Vadaro Jaitita Vibho Yatra Sangirtanadye Snehadveshanuragaihi Prabhrithvi Radulai Ashramai Yoga Bedaihi. That Sneham, Dvesham, Anuragam, all different kinds of human feelings. If this is directed towards Krishna, like the gopis did. Gopis were feeling the lusty relationship with Krishna, kamam. And and the Shishupala was feeling terrible envy of Krishna. And at the same time, Vairabhavam was so strong. And Kamsa was experiencing the fear of Krishna. All these different feelings, when it becomes perfect, you go back to spiritual world. That's all. That is it. Simple as that. Snehadveshanuragaihi prabhrudviradulai ashramair yogabedaihi artim tirtam samartam amrudapadamagu sarvada sarvadoyam hrutva vishwati shandi pavanaviravade bhakti bhutyai jabuya. That therefore, prayer to Krishna is constantly ask Krishna to make this relationship stronger. That when the relationship gets stronger, material life is finished once for all. Snehadveshanuragaihi, that bhakti bhurteja bhuyaha, that somehow or the other, the bhakti or devotion to Krishna, when that gets strengthened at some point in time, Krishna says, you should also go back to spiritual world. So that is the process. So now Sudeva Goswami leaves us there and takes us to another place now. We are left with Krishna's name. So coming to that Krishna's fear, that how Krishna, the fear of Kamsa, Kamsa's fear became so powerful that there is a verse in the Bhagavatam which is spoken by Sudeva Goswami. Asina sammichastishtan bunjana paryadan mahim chindayano krishigesham abashyal tanmayam jagal sarvam krishnavayam jagal. That was the situation. Asinam. Asinam means the seat where he was sitting on the sofa set or whatever that is, he was sitting there. Asinam samvishastishtan, got up from there and pulled out the cushion from there, out of the fear. Bunjana paryadan mahim, that wherever he was thinking, chindayano hrishigesham, always thinking about Krishna. Just imagine that seriousness of spiritual life in Kamsa. Chindayano hrishigesham, apashyal tanmayam jagal. Everywhere he looked in the world, all he could see was Krishna, nothing but Krishna. Everywhere Krishna. Can you imagine? A realized soul, Kamsa was then. Every living entity, we are struggling whole life to see Krishna, at least in the deity form. What to speak about other living entities. And here is Krishna, Kamsa seeing in every living entity, all he could see was Krishna. That is why it says, Abhashyal tanmayam jagal, sarvam krishnamayam jagal. Everywhere in the universe, all Kamsa could see was Krishna. So, is he not qualified to go back to spiritual world? What do you feel? I mean, after all, he has, this is the stage of consciousness everyone wants to be at the end. Our problem is we have nothing with us. We are just sitting like stones, we carry on our life. Abhashyal tanmayam jagal. That this relationship, sanchindayana okhrishigesham abhashyal tanmayam jagal. How much he felt at that moment, this is what is interesting to note. That even in that body, Kamsa got qualified to go back to spiritual world. So, Kamsa is fortunate, he is not unfortunate. Okay, he had this fear of Krishna. Fear got, at least he became perfect in fear. So, when you become perfect in fear, you go back to spiritual world. That's what's happened. Sudeva Goswami is now taking us to the prison, what was going on there. Because we left Krishna there with Devaki Devi and Vasudeva. When he went there, what is Sudevi saying? Sudeva Goswami is saying to us that in the prison, they have all locked up everything and the guards were standing there fully fixed up. Nobody could enter, nobody could come out. This was, if Vishnu comes out, we'll get him. That was their attitude. Now, what happens now? Now is that in the Bhagavatam, one of the most famous glorification of Krishna. By whom? By Lord Brahma. That's the most interesting thing. Normally, every time before Krishna appears and before Krishna goes back to the spiritual world, you will notice in every incarnation, Brahma has a duty. What is that duty? He has to come first. And then he has to glorify before he appears. When Lord Ramchandra came, he did the same thing. Similarly, before going back also, Brahma will come again. Before Krishna comes, Brahma comes. Because Brahma is the top executive of this universe, isn't it? So, the top manager has to be there when the Supreme Lord is coming. So, Brahma comes, glorifies Krishna. Similarly, before Krishna leaves also, Brahma glorifies him. You can see that is in the, later on in the 11th canto it will come. how Brahma came to glorify Krishna before his departure to the spiritual world. So similarly, the same thing was done by Brahma in other appearances also. When he came as Ramachandra, he had to do this. Vamana Murti, he had to do this. But a couple of times Brahma made a mistake. When one was Narasimha Murti, Brahma couldn't do anything at that time. Brahma has given the benediction to Hiranyakashipu that he will not be killed by this, killed by that. So many conditions he put, and he said, okay, everything was okay. But at the last minute, when he started giving pain to Prahlada, Krishna could not wait. This time, no glorification, he said. I'll be there in the pillar and I will come out when I want it. So Brahma lost that opportunity. He could not glorify Narasimhamurti before he came. So Brahma had that fear in his mind. I don't want to miss this. Another occasion was Varaham. Varaham, what could he do? He came out from the nose straight away. And where is the question of glorification? Before he could say anything, the glorification happened after he appeared. Everybody else together. But it was a bit late. But Brahma did not want to make that mistake this time. Why? Because he knew who was coming this time. It was not Varaham or Narasimham. It is the boss of all this, Narasimham and Varaham. The top boss was coming. So Brahma decided in his mind that I should make this glorification really top class. That is what he had in his mind when he came. So you see that glorification. The first verse you have to read it. You will see how powerful that glorification is. That is what it says there. Satyavradam satyaparam trisatyam satyasya yonim hitanja satye satyasya satyamrata satyanetram satyatmagam tvam sharanam prabanna. How many satyams? Can you see how many satyams there? There's about 9 or 10 satyams there. Satyavradam satyaparam trisatyam satyasya yonim mihidamja satye satyasya satyam hrida satyanetram satyatmagam tvam sharanam prabannaha. This one verse has been discussed for about 12 months by the scholars of Bhagavadam for whole day, like 12 months. That is how potent that verse is with knowledge in that. It is not possible for us to discuss that because it is such a powerful verse that 12 months scholars have discussed that, sitting whole day, this one verse, because that is how much is involved in that verse. It looks as though satyam, 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 everything satyam. What satyam? What do we understand about satyam? That is what that verse is about. So, the reason why Brahma spoke that verse was, this verse actually speaks about a lot of things in relationship with the Vedanta philosophy. The impersonalists, the Vedantis, they will glorify the Supreme Lord on an impersonal level in the Brahman form. They have this tendency to talk like this about Krishna. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, I am Brahman, isn't it? He says like that. So because he says like that, they also consider this kind of glorification as very good. So Brahma's intention was, he wanted to recite this first verse, and he himself felt extremely pleased after he recited this verse. So by now, Brahma and all the other demigods, including Lord Shiva and so many other demigods who have all come, they are all inside the prison house. You see, demigods can go and come out anywhere they want. Your steel bars and the locks doesn't stop them from getting in and getting out. This is what we don't understand. In the Vedanta Sutra, if you see, these demigods can come and go as and when they want. That is their special potency given to them by the creation process, by arrangement of Krishna's arrangement. So Brahma came, all the demigods have gone into the prison house. Outside the prison house, we are all standing there, seeing what is going on inside. All the guards also are standing there, because nobody has entry inside. But what was going on inside, Sudeva Goswami is explaining in the next few verses. What was happening inside? So this first verse was spoken by Brahma. So Brahma was thinking that Brahma could see Krishna in the womb of Devaki Devi. He is lying there. Krishna is lying there. And Krishna was lying there, little baby, with two eyes closed and not showing any emotions, ready for to come out. So Krishna thought, this is known as, in the Bhagavadam, this is called Garbhastuti. Garbhastuti means during the pregnancy time, how the glorification happened. Therefore, it's called Brahma's Garbhastuti. It's a very long glorification and with a lot of explanations to it and a lot of meaning also in there. So Brahma thought, let me glorify Krishna in the Vedanti style, like the Vedantis do, saying things which are difficult to understand. That is why that verse is very difficult to understand. So he explained this, he recited this verse, and then he thought that Krishna is going to congratulate me now, because I have spoken such a wonderful verse. See how many satyams in there. And satyam, 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 endless satyam. Everything is satyam. But Krishna didn't show even a smile. Kept completely quiet. Didn't say one word. So after the verse was recited, Brahma paid his obeisances. And he was thinking while paying the obeisances, when he gets up, Krishna will tell me it was a good verse. But Krishna never said one word about it. He just kept his head down. Didn't say anything about it. So at that time, Brahma thought in his mind, maybe the verse is not good enough. I should speak something little bit more, higher Vedantam than all what I have spoken. So the next verse you see, you take it and see how he spoke the next verse. It is more complicated than the first one. Ekayano Sodhibala Trimula Chadurasa Panjavida Shadhalma Sattva Gashtavidavo Navaksho Dashachari Dhugago Hyadi Vrikshaha. If you read that verse, I don't know what you will understand from that. It says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. One commentator says Brahma was teaching Krishna how to count in that verse. You see there? Egan, ego yenaso, dvibhala, trimula, not the English three, trimula, chadurasa, panjavidha, shadalma, saptatvaga, ashtavidavo, navaksho, dashachari, dvighago, adivrikshaha. So this time, Brahma was trying to glorify Krishna like the way the Vedantis do, or the Jnanis do. Jnanis give all this kind of explanation to Krishna because they see the Supreme Lord in a different way. So they were trying to explain. Brahma thought, I should do the same standard I should follow. That was what is in his mind. And at the end you will still see, he has said, Adi Vrikshaha, that you are a tree, he says to Krishna. How do you like if somebody comes and tells you you are just a tree? So, when Brahma said this to Krishna, he realized that I made a mistake, because if you call somebody as a tree, you have to explain that tree, and that is that tree explanation is the first 1, 2, 3, 4 up to 9. You can see that also, it's mentioned there that ega yena so divalastri mula chadurasa panjavida shadhalma saptatva ashtavidabo navashodasha chari dvigago hyadi vrikshaha. That how that tree is constructed, made of all these things, that dvibhala, there is happiness and distress in this world, two results. Trimuhila, there is three modes of material nature. Chaturasa, dharmam, artham, kama and moksham, religious principles, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, all these things. So all these things are correct also. Nothing is wrong. Everything is perfect. This glorification is excellent. But what happened to Krishna at this time was, Krishna was up to this time listening to Brahma's prayers and he was facing Brahma. Now this time Krishna turned the other side and showed his back to Brahma. Didn't want to hear this glorification anymore. And you can see in the Bhagavadam how things have changed suddenly with Brahma. The next verse itself, Brahma understood. Brahma is an intelligent person. He is not like us. He has got, after all, he has got four heads also. So with the four heads he is thinking now. He understood that Krishna didn't like it. Why? Because as far as Krishna is concerned, in the Vaikuntha planet and all, there is personalities like Sanaga, Sanaga, Sanadana, Sananda, Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras, they glorify Krishna with all these kind of philosophical things. And there are many, many great sages, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra and so many others who glorify Krishna in this way. And she is used to sleeping on the Adishesha, on the bed of snake, enjoying the breeze from the milk ocean. Lakshmi Devi is massaging the feet. And he has been, and after, when all this was going on, with this Vedanta philosophy, Krishna says, I was getting very good sleep also, with such a good philosophical glorification. So Krishna said, I had enough of it there. I just wanted to hear what my devotees talk about me. This is what, that is where Krishna's real attachment to devotees comes out there. You can see that in the next verse. Brahma sensed what was going wrong. So immediately he changed the tone. That is why next thing he started talking about how the devotees relate with Krishna. Immediately stopped all this Vedanta explanation. He didn't want to hear any more anything. Krishna said, by turning back, Krishna showed to Brahma that this is what I am interested. So you can see there. Tvamegameva sada prasudi tvam sannidhanam tvam anugrahascha tvam maya samrvajedasas tvam pasyandi nana vibaschidoyem vibhashirubhane abhodam alpa chemaya logasya varachara ajarasya sattva bhavannani sukhavahani sadam abadhani muhukhalanam tvayam bujachayila sattvadhani samadhina veshila chedasayge Tulpada Bodhena Mahal Kradena Kurvandi Goval Sabadam Bhavabdim. Now Brahma is addressing as Ambujaksha. That is the call to Krishna. Tvayambujaksha gila sattvadhamni. That because you have appeared in this transcendental form, it is given the opportunities for the devotees to glorify you. Now the whole tone has changed. No tree, no business. Everything is over with that. But these verses in the Bhagavadam are pregnant with so much spiritual knowledge and understanding that the commentaries by the acharyas and the great scholars on these Bhagavadam verses are so well known that one who wants to know more about it have to read them. And especially these first two verses, Satyavradam Satyavaram Drasatyam Satyasayonim Hidanja Satyi Satyasa Satya Amrata Satya Netram Satya Almadam Tuam Sharanam Ravanaha. Then, Tvayambujakshagila Satvadhamni Samadhina Veshita Chedasaige Tulpada Bodhena Mahal Kridena Kurvandi Goval Sabadam Bhavabdim. So, Brahma says to Krishna that your devotees, what do? They are fearful of material life. They are frightened of the material existence. And this material existence is so frightening to them. But as what did they do? Tulpada bodhena mahal kridena. That they come and take shelter of your lotus feet. And when they take shelter of your lotus feet, immediately they feel they cross over this material world very easily. Material world is normally compared to what? Compared to the samsaram. Samsaram means material existence, isn't it? Material existence means the samsara sagaram, it is called. You will find throughout Vedic literature, always material life is considered to be samsaram. Samsaram means that everything what happens to a living entity from the time of birth to death and from death to the birth again, this is called samsaram. This cycle, cyclical birth and death. That we, in the Vedic system, life doesn't finish with death. And similarly, there is a life before birth also. So there is a life after death and the life before birth also. So the life from birth to death and life from death to birth, this cycle is called samsaram or material existence. And generally, what the living entity does is, he goes through one body, takes birth, lives in that body sometime, die, leaves the body, goes on to another body, we discussed before. And he carries on from changing one body to another. This is what is samsara means. So, a person who has absolute faith in the instructions of the Vedic literature can immediately understand that this samsara is difficult to stop. This is what we are trying to stop, isn't it? Liberation means to put an end to this cycle of birth and death. That's what liberation means. And that is the most difficult thing to do. So, in order to do that, the devotees, what do? They take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And as soon as they take Krishna's lotus feet, what happens to them? This samsaram, which looks like an ocean, to cross an ocean is so difficult. But here it says there, Kurvandi Govalsapadam Bhavabdin. Bhava means repeated birth, one after the other. That they can stop that. Kurvandi Govalsapadam Bhavabdin. That just like you have a hoof of the calf, and how much water can it stay there? How you can jump over it so easily? Exactly like that, they can do that. This is the benefit of Krishna consciousness. That Sri Shukan is telling us that devotees don't have any problem. They are not frightened of this ocean of material existence or samsaram. They are not at all frightened about it. Why? They can jump over it exactly in a, such a simple way that as you jump over the the hoof print of a calf, which has got small little water, and you can jump over it. And he says in the next verse that Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dhuman bhavarnavam bhima adabra sauhradaha bhavalpadambhoruhamava matrade nidhaya yata sadanugraho bhavan. In the verse he is saying Swayam samuttirya, that they know what is, how powerful this material nature is, and it is not easy to break away from this conditioned life. It is not easy. Swayam samutiya sudustaram dhuman bhavarnavam. That this bhavarnavam, or this ocean of material life, is so powerful that they have thought about this and they have found a solution. That what is that solution? That is in the next line. What is that? What did the devotees do? Devotees decided to take the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. They decided, I'm not going to bother about anything else. I'll simply take Krishna's shelter. That is what they decided. So decided, devotees thought that it is no point in trying to go any other route. Yogam, jnanam, karmam, all these things, I leave that there. But I will take the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That is the decision devotees have taken. You see how the words have been explained. Toyal padambo ruhanava matrade nidhayayada sadanugraho bhavan. Bhaval padambo ruhanavam. Nava means is nothing but a boat. So what did they do? How did they escape from this, from material life? They did only one thing. They came here. And they saw that this ocean is so big. So I need a boat to cross this. And they looked for a boat. But what's interesting here is that they got the boat, they got into the boat, and they crossed the ocean. But one thing they did while crossing, they left the boat on the same side where they started. How could that happen? How is that possible? Suppose you got a boat to cross the river. When you cross the river with the boat, naturally the boat will go with you to the other side, isn't it? And the boat will also get to the other side. But here it says, that your lotus feet, they have taken as the boat, and they left the boat here. Because when they came there and took the shelter of your lotus feet, they realized one thing. That there is no such thing as samsaram, no material existence. That was the mystery of this whole verse. That when they came to take the boat and to cross the river, they found the boat, they all took a boat. But while leaving, they said they crossed the ocean. At the same time, they left the boat on the same place where they started the journey. They left the boat for all others to use it. So that was their kindness. How could this happen? This is also we have to know, isn't it? So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in explanation of these words, Bhaval padambo ruha nava matrade nidhaya yada sadanugraho bhavan. They did not take the boat with them. The intention was to take the boat and cross the sea, this ocean of material life. But when they came there, because they took the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Bhaval padambo ruha navam, that boat, which is Krishna's lotus feet. They got into the boat, they sat there, and then they started the journey. After a while, they found out that there is no thing called material existence. This material existence, samsaram, that means In other words, in Ekadasha Skandam, later on Krishna will say this, that actually our problem is that we all say to Krishna that please take me out of this material life, material life, material life. Krishna says there that strictly speaking, there is no such thing, as this is coming from our own ignorance that has covered this material conscious or this material consciousness. That is what has caused the problem. So by Krishna's mercy, when that material consciousness is gone, this thing called material existence also goes along with it. It is released from that point onwards. So initially, what was frightening the devotee, thinking that, oh, I have to cross this material ocean of material existence, when he comes here and start into Bhavalpadambhoruhanavam, or the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, as soon as he enters that and the journey starts, and after a while he finds that there is no ocean to cross. The ocean is gone, is missing, and the boat he left here. At the place where he started, he has left the boat. Now, what is that boat? There is an interesting commentary on that also. Vedavyasa Maharshi's mother was Satyavadi Devi. As you know probably, what was Satyavadi Devi's job, you know? Satyavadi Devi's job was to take people on the ferry back and forth on the Ganga River. That's what she did. Her name is Malsegandhi also, another name given to her. So this Satyavadi Devi used to take people from one side of the river to the other side of the river. That's how she was the daughter of a fisherman. So she was also, she used to smell of fish because of too much close association with the fish. So she was given a name as Malsegandhi in a very humorous way. But originally her name is Satyavadi Devi. Actually she is from the Pitaloka, she has come. Due to some reason she had to appear here in this world. So this Satyavadi Devi, when she was taking once Vedavyasa Maharshi's father, who was that Parashuramani. Parashuram Maharshi was crossing the river. So Parashuram Maharshi was crossing and Satyavadi was taking him in the boat. Satyavadi Devi was a very, very attractive woman. An attractive lady, Satyavadi Devi, Vedavyasa Maharshi's mother, at that time, before Vedavyasa was born. So Parashuram Maharshi got attracted to Satyavadi Devi and he wanted to unite with her in the boat in the middle of Ganga River. And on both sides of the Ganga, people were bathing there. And they were doing different things. So many ritual ceremonies, like, as you know, even today in Ganga, if you go, you will see on either sides of Ganga, so many activities going on. They are burying the dead body, burning the dead body. They are performing ritualistic ceremonies. And people are bathing, people are washing clothes. All sorts of things are going on in Ganga River. And people are chanting Hare Krishna also somewhere. So in all the middle of all these things, I'm sure the situation was not much different in those days as well when Parashuram Maharshi was crossing. So half the way on when the boat was going through, Parashuram Maharshi requested Satyavadi Devi to have the relationship with him. And Satyavadi Devi found it very difficult to accept the proposal. First of all the people are on either side of the river. Secondly, her fear was that Parashuram Maharshi was a great sage, a very powerful personality. He wrote what is known as Vishnu Puranam. From there, many quotations Prabhupada is quoted in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita also. Vishnu Puranam is like Srimad Bhagavadam. It is one of the most Sattvika Puranam, mood of goodness, that as they are classified. It is the Puranam that refers to, many chapters refers to Krishna's appearance and pastimes also. So this Vishnu Puranam, he is the author. Parashuram Maharshi is the author of Vishnu Puranam. So when Parashuram Maharshi requested Satyavadi Devi, Satyavadi Devi spoke about her difficulty of not unable to accept the proposal. So asked what the reason was, Satyavadi Devi said, it's not proper to have a relationship when so many people are all around. Parashuram Maharshi said, I have a way to stop that. And he created a fog by his mystic power all around the boat, right in the middle of the Ganga River. And the fog was so thick that there was no question of anyone seeing Parashuram Maharshi or Satyavadi Devi together. From that relationship, Vedavyasa Maharshi was born. So you can see what was Vedavyasa Maharshi's mother's profession was to ferry people from on the river. But Vedavyasa Maharshi realized, my job is a little bit more difficult because I have to ferry people from this ocean of samsaram, cross, big, much bigger ocean it is. So this type of ferry won't help, like my mother was using. So he constructed four very big ships. He decided to build four big ships. And he decided that I will use these four big ships and I'll move people from one side to the other side of this ocean of material life. That is what he decided. He gave them four names also. Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam and Atharvanavedam. The four Vedas, he brought them together. But the problem was, when he created these four ships, there was nobody to buy the ticket. Because it was so expensive, the ticket. No one could afford to buy a ticket. Vedavyasa Maharshi felt that what is the point? I built something. Just like Queen has her wonderful yacht or whatever, the facility. But ordinary people like us, we can only stand at Portsmouth and watch it. Nothing else we can do about it. So similarly, Vedavyasa Maharshi is these four new master boats or the first class cruise ships. There were nobody could use them. Why? Because it was so expensive to get in. And people didn't have the money to study all these four Vedas and to master them and to become perfect in that. Ordinary people found it very hard. Vedavyasa said, leave them, dock them somewhere and leave them there, he said. What did he do the next thing? He said, the next thing, I'll build a lot of other boats. He bought many other, built many other boats. The problem was, when people started getting into these boats, it started leaking. Water started coming in through that boats. So Vedavyasa says, throw those boats also away. Then he decided to build one boat, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. After this boat was built, Vedavyasa is saying to everybody, come on, don't need any ticket. Jump in to this boat. This will only stop when it gets to Vaikuntha. Till then, this boat won't stop, he said. This is what Vedavyasa Maharshi's words on this. In the Padma Puranam, referring to Srimad Bhagavatam, what it says, Rere Garjadi Garjadi. Garjadi means screaming to people, come in, board in, get into this boat, this will take you to Vaikuntha. That is, this boat will not leak. Vedavyas wrote Srimad Bhagavatam after building all the other boats. That is the beauty of this Srimad Bhagavatam. After all the other boats were built and written and delivered, then he built this boat. So he's saying there that Bhagavatam sometimes is compared to this boat. If you get into this Bhagavatam boat, you don't need a ticket, number one. Secondly, this boat will only stop when you get to Vaikuntha, not before that. There is no stop. It's a non-stop service to Vaikuntha. You can't get out. On the way, if you say, oh, I don't want to leave, I don't want to study Srimad Bhagavatam anymore, that's not possible. Bhagavatam won't allow you. Because once you're in, the type of people who are inside that in the boat are such, they'll keep you busy with Srimad Bhagavatam. You won't be able to escape from there. Anyone who is honest and sincere, has experienced Srimad Bhagavatam, will vouch for it. They will agree with this statement. Because that is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is sometimes said that is why that word used here, Bhavalpadamboruhanavam, that Krishna's lotus feet, that boat is Srimad Bhagavatam. And what happened then? This boat was constructed. Many people jumped into this boat and they all went. So what did they do? They all got Bhagavatam in their hand. So they started making their own boats. Everybody started building boats. When they got Bhagavatam in their hand, they thought, if I make one, the design of Bhagavatam is good, they thought. Why? Because it is designed in such a way that there is no question of any way crashing or any kind of problems on the way. It seems to be taking the people. So others started creating. Vilumangalam wrote Krishna Karnavadam. He had his boat. He made Krishna Karnavadam. And he made his boat, left it here. And similarly, many, many great devotees, Bhakti Rasavrata Sindhu. Yuva Goswami wrote Bhakti Rasavrata Sindhu. That was another boat he built. And he left the boat here. And all of them have built different boats. All on the strength of Srimad Bhagavatam. They built all these boats and left it here for us. And told us, jump into any one of them. and you say, and get out of this place. This is what they were saying. But what do? We stay here. We are still thinking, is it, which boat should I take? Which is the best boat in this? We are not decided yet whether to get into a boat or not. This is our problem. There is an interesting thing about this, that once one lady, she used to go to the temple, and she used to stand in front of the deity every day and said to Krishna that, please take me out of this material world, please take me out of this material world, please take me out of this material world. Every day she used to repeat this. And the pujari in the temple used to hear this, and he used to get fed up listening to this, day after day, say, bothering Krishna like this to take me out of the material world. So one day he thought that, let me check how serious she is about this. So what did he do? He went and stood behind the deity. So when he started saying this, let me take me out of this material world, he said to her from behind, come straight away, I'll take you out of the material world, he said. Oh, she said, oh, I never thought that you can speak, she said to the deity immediately. He didn't realize that the pujari was speaking from behind. So she said to the deity, no, I'm not ready yet. He said, I was only saying that this is what I want later. But right at this moment, I have to pick up my children from the school. I have to go to Sainsbury's and do my shopping. And when I've done all that thing, then I will come. For then only I need the liberation. I don't need it before. This is our situation. This is where we are today. It is better to acknowledge our consciousness and agree with this. That is why it says here, Bhaval Padambo Ruhanava Matramithayate. That what normally happens is Krishna doesn't transmute people directly himself. Rather, he requests the devotees. He has his devotees who come and picks you up from this material existence. It is the devotees who do that for the sake of Krishna. They come, they pick you up from this material world, and they transport you back to the spiritual world. That is how they do it, through this boat called Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam's potencies are throughout in so many different verses. It is explained there in here itself. This Brahma's Garbhastuti from now on, that is verse number 26 onwards, right up to the end, which is the one before Sri Shuka Uvacha. All those verses are full of meaning like this. Each and every verse, if you start discussing like this, it will take a long time also. That Brahma never, as soon as this verse has come out, Krishna said, first class. And Brahma understood that the message is through. This is what was expected of me. I didn't do it. Instead, I was calling all this Satyam. What Satyam? Krishna doesn't want to know. He knows what Satyam is. In fact, to know Satyam is very difficult. What I don't know what we understand by Satyam. Satyam normally means truthfulness, isn't it? Truthfulness, Satyam means truthfulness. But the Satyam what Krishna is talking about and what is Satyam for us is totally different. In this world, for example, say for example, just to make it easier, if I say to you that next Sunday we'll have a Bhagavatam class here, Satyam, I'm saying it is truthful, I'm telling you it will have. But my statement is subjected to few things. It is not Satyam, is it? It's not Satyam because it is subjected to, I am well enough to speak, I am allowed to speak. So many things are there, conditions attached to it. So it cannot be Satyam. So that Satyam is not real Satyam. So Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Satyam doesn't mean any of these things. These things what we call as Satyam here, in reality is not Satyam. This is all Asatyam actually. It's not Satyam. Krishna's words, if you want to see, you can see in Ekadasha Skandam, what Krishna says, what Satyam means. Satyam means, Krishna says there, Dambham yasaparam danam satyam ja samadarshanam. When one sees in every living entity presence of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as part and parcel of Krishna, every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna says, He knows what is Satyam. That is the proper understanding of Satyam. Everything else is false. That is why in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, isn't it? Vidya Vinaya Sampanni Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shwani Chaiva Shobhageja Pandita Samadarshinaham. So Satyam cha Samadarshanam. Samadarshanam means equal vision. When will that Satyam come to us all? When will we see in every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna? Only then we can say we are truthful. Up to that point, we are all false. We are not truthful. You can say you are truthful, but from Krishna's point of view, you are truthful, or you are purely on the platform of Satyam. Satyam cha Samadarshanam. Samadarshanam means equal vision. Seeing every living entity on an equal level. That is the truthfulness. And that is the Satyam. And that Satyam is not attained easily. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sambhani Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shwani Chaiva Shubhageja Pandita Samadarshinaha. So Samadarshanam comes. All that person is truthful. Everyone else is not truthful as far as Krishna is concerned. Sometimes we say while talking, to be honest with you, Prabhu, to be honest with you. What honest? Who is honest? I haven't seen, to be honest with you, one yet. We keep repeating, honest with you, honest with you. What honesty? This is what Krishna is saying. Satyam ja samadarshanam. That samadarshanam, that is what is proper satyam. Up to that point, our satyam is asatyam. So, if you continue from there, that yenye svayam sudustirya sudustaram dhuman bhavarnavam bhima adabhra sauhridaha bhaval padamboruham avamatrade nithaya yadasadanugraho bhavan yenye aravindaksham vimuktamaninaha toyalma bhava avishuddha buddhayaha aruhya krishena param padam dada padam vyadonahada yushpadankhayam yenye aravindaksham vimuktamaninaha. Sometimes people, due to their transcendental cultivation of transcendental knowledge, they feel that they are liberated. When knowledge comes naturally, along with that liberation also comes, no doubt about that. That jnanis follow that process. But what the problem is, yenye aravindaksham, addressing Krishna is, earlier Krishna was addressed as ambujaksha. Now Brahma is addressing Krishna as aravindaksha. People who have come to this understanding that I am liberated, because by cultivation of transcendental knowledge one comes to the platform of liberation at the end. Brahman realization also happens to them. So at that time they will say this, that Vimukta Mayam, they feel they are liberated, but they are not liberated. Brahma says, why? Avishuddha buddhaya. That their mind is not buddhi, intelligence is not purified enough. They have understood everything, but at the same time, why? Toyi Atma Bhava Avishuddha buddhaya. Arukhya Krishrena Param Padandada Padandyadona Adhidayushpadangraya. That they will go up every time transcendental knowledge is building up, spiritual knowledge is building up inside. Accordingly, the liberation also gets closer. And it gets closer and closer and closer. Day after day, they are making so fast progress in spiritual life by cultivation of the spiritual knowledge. Jnana Margam is a process there. So that is what Brahma now understood, that Krishna doesn't want to hear about Jnana Margam now. Right now, he is interested about devotees. That is why he put this verse like this. Yenye aravindaksha vimuktamanina toyalma bhava avishuddha buddhayaha. Then what happened? He starts going up in spiritual life. Aruhya krichrayana param padandada. That krichrayana, very easily he keeps going up. But then what happened? Padandyadhovana adadavishmadangraya. One day suddenly he fall down from there. So Brahma says, what is the use? What will happen? What is the benefit from this? That you have done, have worked very hard, very, very hard. They didn't take your lotus shelter of your lotus feet. Instead, they studied the Vedic literature, Vedas and all the Upanishads and Shastra, everything. And they made progress on the spiritual path. And they grew very well, because spiritual knowledge is such, when that comes in, naturally there is the happiness coming from that, because of the transcendental knowledge. Satugunam builds up and frees oneself from ignorance. There is no other happiness in this world when one is relieved from ignorance. That's very clear. And that is what's happening here also for the jnanis. But they do all that. But then suddenly one day something happens and they drop from there. Padandyano dadadushmadangrayam. So this is the position of the jnanis. Brahma is saying to Krishna about the devotees. And in the very next verse, if you look, you will see there, he has mentioned that very nicely. Tathamade Madhava. Now Krishna is addressed as Madhava. Tathanade Madhava Tavaga Kojil. Brashyandi marga toi bhadda sauhradaha. Toya bhigupta vijarandi nirbhaya vinayagani gamamurdha suprabhom. Brahma wanted to say to Krishna that this process of bhakti margam, that taking shelter of your devotees and making their friendship, making friendship with them, and there is no question of falling from that position. Not only that, they used this process so successfully by so many devotees at so many instances that they never felt this material ocean of material existence anymore. Many, many examples you can find there throughout the history, how devotees have mentioned this, have followed this process and eventually acknowledged that this is the right thing to do. Exactly like Villumangalam, all you have to take Krishna Karnavardham and start reading it, you will find there. Villumangalam was one sitting underneath the tree. When he was sitting there underneath the tree, so many people came to see him. And there was a discussion between Villumangalam and these visitors. So they were saying to Villumangalam, Villumangalam, you have been sitting here. Villumangalam is a sannyasi, you have to remember. He was a sannyasi. He was sitting there. And not only he was sitting there, he was not doing anything. He was just sitting, fully freed from all anxieties. He was enjoying, but at the same time, the visitors didn't know what was happening to Villumangalam. So Villumangalam, they said to Villumangalam, Villumangalam, are you frightened in your life? Villumangalam said, no, I'm not frightened. You're not frightened? No. Okay. But normally, sannyasis have a great fear. At the time, like particularly sannyasis also, when they want to change the body, they need to be concerned about it. After all, who is not concerned? Whether you are a brahmachari or a sannyasi or a grihastha, at the time of death, we are all in the same boat. Either we have to run to hospital or somebody has to care for us. So that fear is always there. Nobody is free from that. So this question came up. What's your fear in your mind, Villumangalam, they said to him. Villumangalam answered that. And that answer is a reflection of these words in the Bhagavadam. What did Villumangalam say? Villumangalam said to them, Devaki taneya pujana pudam. Do you know what I have done in my life? He said to them. I have offered flowers, fruits, prasadam, everything to son of Devaki Devi. Devaki tane pujana puda. Then what else? Pudanari charano dagadaudham. That I have taken the charanamadam or the charanamadam what was used for washing Krishna's lotus feet. And I have drunk that enough in my life. Yadyaham smriti dhananjaya sudha. That dhananjaya sudha. Who is dhananjaya sudha? Dhananjaya is Arjuna. Arjuna sudha is charitya. The charioteer of Arjuna is Krishna. Yadyaham smriti dhananjaya sutam. All the time I am sitting and thinking about that charioteer in my mind. Kim karishyati same yamadudam. Let me see that yamaduda, what they will do to me. This is Villumangalam's words. To say this to somebody, you need that strength. Somebody has to give you that strength. And that is what this verse is talking about. Devagi taneya pujana puda. Pudanari charano dagadauda. Yadyaham smriti dhananjaya suda. Kim karishyati same yamadudam. Let yamaduda come. I would like to deal with them, he says. This is the courage of Villumangalam. So you can see from Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, all literature, Vedic literature points out to one thing. If you want to free yourself from the fear of death or changing this body, and if you want to get to that consciousness, we have to follow the footsteps of Sudeva Goswami, Villumangalam and so many other great personalities who had the full understanding. When we say giving up death, that once for all stopping the process of death means this. It is not that they stopping this material body from dying. That is not the stopping death. Many people, when you go out, talk to people, look, Prabhuji, you have to stop this cycle of birth and death. They will straight away ask you, you're also going to die. Why are you telling me? This will be the answer from these people. What can you tell them? Because they are thinking that stopping death means living in this comfortable material body forever. This is their understanding. But that is not stopping death means. Stopping death means once for all stopping the cycle of changing the body. Once you leave this body and then no more changing the body afterwards, that is stopping the death. So that is why Vilumangalam says here, Devagitanaya Pujaya Puda Pudanari Charano Dagadaudam Yadyaham Smriti Dhananjaya Suda Kim Karishyati Same Yamaduta. That what is Yamadutas, I will like to meet them and I will have a chat with them, he says. Vilumangalam is saying this. He said, let them come. I know what to talk to them, he said. Because Krishna is backing him up from behind. He's telling him, don't have to worry about it. That is what this verse is saying. Yathana de madhava dhavaga kojal brashyanti marga tvai bhadda sauhradaha tvaya abhigupta vicharanti nirbhaya vinayaka anekam amurdha suprabho sattvam vishuddham shrayade bhavan sthitau sharirinam shreyam upayena vabhu kheda kriya yoga tapa samadhi bi stavahanam yena jana samihadem. That Krishna has been so kind to the living entity that somehow or the other different sattvika forms he has given to us to worship. Veda kriya yoga tapa samadhi bi stavahanam yena jana samihadem sattvam na jedhadaridam nijam bhavil vijnana vijnana vidavam arjanam guna prakashai anumiyade bhavan prakashade yaste jayena va gunam nanam arube guna janma karma bhir nirubidavye tavadasya sakshina manovajobhya anumeya vartaman no deva kriyayam padayam jadabihi shrunvan ganan samsmarayascha chindayan namani rubani jamangalani de kriyasu yastu charanaravindayo avishta chedana bhavaya kalparem. Namam and Rupam, the holy names and the form of Krishna. It says in the Bhagavatam, Brahma is vouching for this. So if Brahma is saying something, I think we don't need another certification again on that. Brahma is saying here, Shrunvanganan samsmarayascha chindayan namani rubani jamangalani de. That Shrinvan, Ganan and Samsmaran. That if you read and if you remember all these things, Chindayan Namani Rubani Jamangala Anideyam, their name and forms of the Supreme Lord addressing, referring to Krishna. Kriyasu yastu charanaravindayo avishta chedana bhavaya kalpadeyam. The result will be that at the end your mind will get attracted to Krishna. And then there is no more changing this body business. It finishes once for all. So this Vedastudhi or Garbhastudhi of Lord Brahma is such an important verse that all this, starting from Satyavratam, Satyavarandra, Satyam onwards, right up to the end, are those verses very pregnant with lot of important meanings. And Kriyasu yastu charanaravindayo avishta chedana bhavaya kalpade Dishti aharesya bhavadappado bhuvo bharovanidastava janmane shidu dishtyangidam tol padagai sushobhaner drakshamagamdyam jadavanukambidam nade bhavasyesha bhavasya karanam vina vinodam bradarkayamahe bhavo nirodha sthidirapya vidyaya hridayadastvaya yoshayatmani malsyasya gachamanrasimha varaha hamsa rajanya vipra vibhudeshu krita avadara tvam pasina sthribhuvanam cha yatha dunesha bharabhuvo hare harayadutama vandanam te. Ultimately he says to Brahma, is saying, now all you have to remember, all this is happening inside the prison room. First, as soon as Brahma arrived with the demigods, first thing what he did was he circumambulated Vasudeva and Devaki all together. They made a pradakshinam or parikramam of Vasudeva and Devaki. You see, Vasudeva and Devaki were sitting there. Devaki was in blissful state because Krishna is inside. And Brahma could see Krishna very well. Just see, our eyes and Brahma's eyes. What do we see with our eyes? What Brahma can see with his eyes. And similarly with all the demigods also. They were all seeing Supreme Personality. He knew who was lying there. So first thing, they all circumambulated, paid their obeisances, and then they started their Garbhastuti. So, and the Garbhastuti was progressing. Devaki Devi was in Samadhi, Navikalpa Samadhi it was. In other words, she was already in a realized state. Can you imagine? Krishna is inside you, and ready to come out from your from Devaki Devi's womb. What will be the Devaki Devi state of mind at that time? And Devaki Devi at that point said to Vasudev, I have forgotten all my distress. I can't even remember where I am now. This was Devaki Devi's state of consciousness. What Kamsa has done to the children. Previously, the same Devaki Devi a few minutes ago was saying to Vasudev that I was experiencing so much distress thinking about what Kamsa has done to my children, how he slaughtered them and massacred them and all that. And the same Devaki Devi now is saying to Vasudev that I can't remember anything, what's happening to me. I've forgotten all the distress has gone away from me. Everything has gone, she says. So you can see what happens in this material world under Maya's influence. We take so many things as seriously, very distressful. And we start acting on that, not knowing that this distress also has no meaning. Just like happiness has no meaning in this material world, distress also has no meaning. In some states, you feel that this distress is causing me so much distress. You think of giving up this body, changing this, changing that. So many things we do to alleviate the distress in this world. But here, the answer is given. When Krishna comes in, distress is gone with that. The very moment Krishna is in, all the distress is finished. Then there is no more talking about Kamsa or talking about Jarasandha or Hiranyakashipu. All that is finished with this material world. So, in order to bring this point out, Devaki Devi's consciousness is discussed all the time. In a few minutes, the whole consciousness changed for Devaki Devi. She was experiencing that kind of transcendental bliss, transcendental happiness within herself because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within her own womb. So before concluding, Brahma said to Devaki Devi, please do not be fearful. Because all along this, Brahma was thinking that Devaki Devi is fearful. So he says these words to her, Malsyashva Kachava Nrasimha Varaha Hamsa Rajanya Vipra Vibhudeshu Kridavadara Tvam Vasina Stribhuvanam Jayadha Dunesha Bharabhuohara Yadutama Vandanam Tem. That and they all paid their obeisances together. Yadutama Bharam 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 Bhuo Bharabhuohara Yadutama Vandanam Tem. Please remove the burden of Mother Earth. Yadutama Vandanam Te. In a most beautiful form, that Brahma and all the other demigods paid their obeisances to Krishna at this point. And he is concluding his Garbhastuti at that point. But before leaving, he congratulated Devaki Devi. And that is the next words. Dishtyambade kuchigada parapuma namshena sachal bhagavan bhavayana. Ma bhul bhayam vajavadeer mamursho gopto yadunam bhavida tawal majah. Dishtyambade kuchigada parapuman. Who has entered into your womb? Brahma is saying, Devaki Devi is listening, hearing this, that who has entered into your womb, you don't have to have any more fear from Bhojavadi. Who is Bhojavadi? Is Kamsa. You don't have to feel any more fear from Kamsa. That fear is gone. Because the appearance of Krishna within your womb is the guarantee now that there is no more anxiety from Kamsa and his men. So, like this, Brahma has pacified Devaki Devi and Vasudev. Garbhastuti was finished. And when Garbhastuti, if you have time, if you can take Srimad Bhagavatam and read Prabhupada's translation and commentary on these, at least these verses of glorification of Garbhastuti by Brahma. There is many things mentioned there, and it will stimulate your own thoughts on that Garbhastuti. So after the Garbhastuti was over, now we are all waiting outside. We are all waiting outside the prison house of Kamsa, Kamsa's prison house. By now, the Mathura is getting ready now for the appearance of Krishna, because Kamsa has, as I said before, Kamsa was waiting for this to happen, and now the Brahma, Lord Shiva, they were in the front, and all the other demigods were behind, and they were all going back to their own abodes. You can see in the Bhagavadam, in many instances, when they come, they will have a meeting somewhere before they come. And generally, they are all led by Brahma. So, Brahma and Lord Shiva had a discussion now. Because they are on their way back. The Supreme Lord is going to appear, isn't it? Krishna is going to appear. So, somewhere, while going to Brahmalokam, Kailas, and the heavenly planet, there is a junction somewhere in the sky. You can imagine like that. Somewhere they are met with each other. In this junction, they are having a discussion. Brahma was saying to Lord Shiva, Shiva is his son, isn't it? So Brahma is calling his son and telling him, do you want to be witnessing the appearance of Krishna? Shiva said, yes, I do want to witness. Because they all want to see Supreme Personality's appearance, isn't it? Unlike all the other previous incarnations, in this particular incarnation, as I mentioned before, everyone else has come. Durga Devi has come. And Mahalakshmi has come as Rukmini Devi, she has come. And Radharani has come as Mahalakshmi or Rukmini Devi, they are here. Durga Devi has also come. So naturally, there were among the demigods, there were a lot of speculation. What is this special appearance now that all the other demigods have come? All the other great personalities have also come. In addition to that, Krishna has told them that you can also come if you want to enjoy with me. That is what Krishna has told them. Krishna never told them, come and assist me or help me. When Krishna came as Ramachandra, it was a different kind of request. There, the request was, told the demigods, come and assist me in my mission while appearing as Ramachandra. So that was a different tone altogether. Here, it was not a request to come. Krishna said to them, if you want to enjoy with me, come now, he said. So many, many demigods and demigoddesses and sages, they all decided to take birth in Gokul at the same time as Krishna has appeared. Because this is an opportunity normally nobody gets to play with Krishna, to enjoy with Krishna. If you come, when you go further and further in this 10th canto, you will see how Krishna entertained them. And that happiness, what the cowherd boys and the gopis had, Sri Shugan, after discussing chapter after chapter, he could not stop. It was, he said, it is so unlimited, I can't limit it in a 7 days or 10 days, he said. That is how it was. Each and every single pastime in this childhood, what Krishna has performed at that time, is so inspiring to Sukadeva Goswami and to the devotees, particularly to Parikshit Maharaj, that he says, I can't even remember when I had my last meal. He said, so much he has forgotten about eating and sleeping. In other words, the childhood pastimes have brought Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj, to such a consciousness that even eating, sleeping, and the very, very basic bodily needs were completely forgotten for that time. And in that transcendental mood, Parikshit Maharaj left this body. As I mentioned before, in whatever situation, one's mind is absorbed at the time of death, mind will fix up the next body for you to move into. So when one dies in the thoughts of these childhood pastimes of Krishna, and naturally there is no question that he is back in the spiritual world. So there is no more, you don't even have to read till the 12th canto that Parikshit has gone back to the spiritual world. Although there is a chapter in the 12th canto, 13th, last canto, which says there, Brahmavadesham, where Parikshit Maharaj was taken personally, when Sudeva Goswami is standing there, after whole Bhagavadam was spoken, he asked Parikshit Maharaj to bring a tray for performing the arati. He brought the tray and he performed the arati for to spiritual master, which is Sudeva Goswami. And after the arati was performed, Sudeva Goswami asked Parikshit Maharaj to close the eyes. When he closed his eyes, he asked him, what do you see now? He said, I see Krishna now, here, in front of me. He said, what else do you see? I see my spiritual master yourself, Sukadeva Goswami, standing next to him. Sukadeva Goswami said to Parikshit Maharaj, don't open your eyes anymore. Saying this, he walked out from there. You have never seen Sukadeva Goswami after that. In the Bhagavatam, he doesn't come anymore. So after that, before anyone could say anything, Parikshit Maharaj was already in the spiritual world. So you can see how Srimad Bhagavatam, such a powerful literature, as Vedavyasa Maharaj said, Are Garjadi Garjadi, get in, he says. Don't lose it. Don't miss this chance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Take it now and use it, he says. And like this, Srimad Bhagavatam's glories are unlimited. And Parikshit Maharaj, for name's sake, Takshaka came and touched Parikshit, because that was a curse. It has to be also, it has also to be justified, because once a curse was given by Brahmana boy Sringi, that has to come true. So Takshaka came and touched Parikshit, but by then Parikshit was already in the spiritual world. So you don't have to even get that far. Before that, here itself, you can see that Sri Shugan is saying to Parikshit that these childhood pastimes of Krishna, which comes from now on, from the appearance onwards, are such pastimes that for those who wants to go to spiritual world, here is the boat. The boat is there, waiting there. Srimad Bhagavatam is sometimes compared to a train also. There's so many interesting comparisons of Srimad Bhagavatam. People never get tired of comparing Bhagavatam to other things. Suppose you go and stand in the King's Cross station, a 12 bogie coach standing there. Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. First canto, first compartment. Second canto, second compartment. Third canto, third compartment. 12 cantos, 12 compartments. And Vedavyasa Maharshi is the guard. Sukadeva Goswami is the driver. Sukadeva Goswami is driving. And Vedavyasa is saying, showing the flag and saying, this train, no stop, straight to Vaikuntha. Jump into any of the compartments, don't worry. First canto, Parikshit will greet you, because Parikshit is the main personality, the first canto. Second compartment, get in, Sukadeva Goswami will greet you. Third canto, Kardama Prajavati, Devahuti Devi, they will greet you. Fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj and Sadi Devi and so many others, they will greet you in the fourth canto. Like this, canto after canto after canto, devotees, devotees, devotees everywhere, prasadam, prasadam, prasadam everywhere. Feast, feast, chanting, chanting, back to Vaikuntha. This is Bhagavatam. This is the beauty of the Bhagavatam. Now, when we say all these things, you may think it is all some sort of exaggeration. It is not exaggeration. Everybody has a boat. They all took this boat and crossed over. But there was one person, he had no boat. Who was that? Ajamila. Ajamila had no boat. He had nothing to use. But he had one small boat in his hand. What is that? Kejil kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dhunyvandikarsnyena niharamiva bhaskaram. Ajamila said, Kejil kevalaya bhaktyam. Some people in this world, they didn't study any Vedantam, anything. They just thought, Krishna is there, let me go and take his shelter. Don't worry about anything else. Kejil kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanam. And then what happens? Akham dhunvandi kalsnyenam. That all my sinful activities, I do not know how much sinful reactions I have behind me. I could not do anything about it. So many lifetimes acquired so much back, carrying on as a backpack behind me. It's there. Akham dhunvandi kalsnyena. Then how? Niharamiva bhaskaram. When the sun comes, what happens? There is no fog after that. Up to that, there is a thick fog. But as soon as the sun comes out, niharamiva bhaskaram. All my so-called sinful reactions were wiped out in one stroke. Kejil kevalaya bhaktyam vasudeva parayana akham dhunvandi kalsnyena niharamiva bhaskara. So Ajamila said, I don't have any other big boat to use. All I have is Narayana Chaduraksharam. I have only got these four letters, Narayana. That is his boat. So Ajamila's boat is the smallest boat. So if you want to get into that, you can also make this small boat. Small boat is not difficult to make. Anybody can make this small boat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. So that boat is there. That boat has been given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu gave us this boat. Take this boat. There is no need for another boat. You don't have to look at the big ships standing the berth at the Portsmouth. You don't have to look at them. Let them stand there. Therefore, people who have come much before than us, we have this boat. This one boat is enough to get over this ocean of material life. That is why Mahaprabhu said, don't need anything else. Nothing else will work also. You may have a big boat, but if you don't know how to steer that boat, nor if you have enough fuel in the boat, what is the point in having it? But this boat, this holy name, Krishna's holy names, that boat will get us there. And when we get there, we will leave the boat back here for the rest of the people who wants to use that boat. So that is why, Bhaval Padambo Ruhan Avamatrade. Then, see, in one word, Sukadeva Goswami has pushed so much into it. This is how Srimad Bhagavatam is. Endless, unlimited. Unlimited Srimad Bhagavatam. How can you speak about that in a limited time? That is not possible. Srimad Bhagavatam is the shelter. This is why Bhagavatam is referred Kathamayi Bhagavadabhidhanam Bhagavata Swarubi. Krishna has taken in Kali Yuga in this form of Bhagavatam has come to us. Srimad Bhagavatam, one who wants to use this boat, he can cross over. And this boat never leaks. That is another good thing about this boat. Once you get into this boat, there is no question of jumping out. Every other Puranam, other boats, if you take, you may get some into problems. Sometimes you may jump in and say, maybe this is not the right place for me. You may come out from that. But this boat will never leave you. That is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now Vasudeva and Devaki are waiting for Krishna to appear. We are all waiting outside the prison, looking at Vasudeva and Devaki Devi, waiting for Krishna to appear. So we will leave that for a week. Next Sunday, we will discuss Krishna's appearance. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Will this is Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.